The masters of getting you to buy the same game multiple times do it again, bringing the NES Mario Brothers games to the Nintendo Switch with improved graphics, by which they mean the improved graphics as they had in their first re-release in 1993. On the 35th anniversary of Mario Bros., we get back an old compilation of games, a new compilation of less old games, and a brand new Mario Battle Royale, all of which made for an incredible Mario-centric Nintendo Direct. These are my plans for the 18th. Stay tuned to hear of your hosts' plans, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, recently done and coming soon, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Once again, it is Orange Lounge Radio. Back tonight with episode number 835 for this September the 13th of 2020. We are back tonight after being gone last week, thanks to Labor Day holiday here in the U.S. and virtual Dragon Con, which I was fortunate enough to participate with. And I just want to start off by giving a big thank you to everybody over at Dragon Con and the digital media track for having me on some panels again. Wonderful panels, great set of panelists. I met a lot of great people and got to work with folks. And if anybody from that group is here listening tonight, whether live or on the feed, then great. Great. Welcome. Hope you enjoy the show. I am Rob Roberts, and joining me in studio, nobody. We joining me in studio is a brand new little stuffed pumpkin spice latte. That's what we have here in studios, a new stuffed animal for the chair. Sadly, due to the pandemic in the world, we are still doing the distance recording. So joining me via Discord, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello. And by the way, the studio now is in the ether. The studio is in our hearts.
Yes, the studio belongs to the people. It's much like the Harry Potter series. It no longer belongs to one person. It belongs to the people.
Well, except we're not, you know, transphobic assholes.
Alan is yelling from the kitchen. Do the people pay rent?
No.
On our own places, yo.
Well, hey, you know what? You guys are always very kind enough. Actually, I see this going on right now. We do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, VOG Network, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And we may not charge rent, but some of you are very gracious with the bits and the subs. And if I see people get, like, Pod Culture. I don't usually read these out at the top of the show, but I will this time. Pod Culture just gave out 5 subs. Thank you so much. Dark Soccer, you just gave out 1. Bobby resubbed. I mean, there's, and Sia Tiberi as well. There's just lots of subs. There's a hype train going on right now. And so, obviously, it's no secret. We get a little bit of kickback from that that we can use to reinvest into the network, because running a business is expensive, yo. So we really appreciate all that. So it may not be rent, but we appreciate all the subs, especially with this month being the September themed month over at Twitch TV, where there's discounts and all that good stuff. So yay.
Sweet.
That's right. All right. Also sweet. Say hello to also joining us tonight, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah. What do you have going on behind you tonight? That's not your game, is it? That's a different racing game.
No, it's Hot Shot Racing. It came out this week.
Oh yeah. It's a Xbox Game Pass thing, isn't it?
I think it might be. I have it on PC, but it's on Steam, and I think it's on the Xbox, PlayStation 4, and the Switch. It's kind of a throwback to the AM2 racing games that Sega put out.
Yeah. No, I was looking, and I was like, is that virtual racing? It doesn't really look like it.
It plays,
but
it's pretty cool, yeah.
And I knew you were doing a racing-inspired game at one point. It was one of your projects, and I was like, ooh, he's come a long way in the past couple.
I wish I was releasing a game on consoles and stuff. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right. Well, that game looks pretty cool. I'm going to have to check that out at some point. I've missed that this week, but that looks fun. That looks like something that might be up Dark Sakura's alley, too, because Dark Sakura, like, hello, 90s Sega racing-inspired game? Like, that has to speak to a special part of you, doesn't it?
Possibly, but I have Animal Crossing.
There's other business to be tended to.
Like, I borrowed Horizon Zero Dawn from my friend, like, a year ago and never played it because Animal Crossing.
It's a bummer. Even though you can't out.
Hear the music from it, the music is also on par with those games as well. It's just it's kind of a throwback to all that stuff. It's pretty difficult too, but okay. Pretty fun game.
I'm gonna have to check out that game at some point. And then one other thing I need to address here at the top of the show. I know we were out last week, but just a couple of days ago, Loki, it was your birthday. So happy birthday, Loki!
Thank you.
You have a birthday that's very easy to remember, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So, but happy birthday all the same. Did you do anything special for your day? I know it's weird with these whole pandemic-y times and a lot of places being closed, but were you able to do anything fun?
Yeah, so, like, I know, like, everything is frowned upon going out and doing things, but
because it depends what you're doing.
Yeah, it depends. Like, well, California, different counties are open in different capacities. So just up the hill from us, El Dorado County is a little bit more open. So they have their theaters open and some of the restaurants are open for dining. So, like, we went out to breakfast and then went and saw Tenet in the theaters. And there was only, like, seven people in there. It was really, you know, empty.
I can't imagine a lot of people are going, y'all were wearing your masks the whole time, I imagine, except when eating popcorn.
Just in the lobby. I mean, obviously in the theater, you don't have to because you're spaced out so far, but like in the lobby, they require masks. But it was all right, except for the theater, you know, had the volume turned way too high for the movie. So it was like kind of garbled in parts. And it was like sitting in a rock concert. Like, I had a headache by the end of the movie because it was so loud. Like, insanely loud. And I watch a lot of action movies and stuff in theaters, and like, I know when it's turned up way too loud. So but it was an okay movie. I liked it.
My dad's birthday is the week before yours, and as you know, he's had a bit of a year, and I talked about that on prior shows, and he wanted to go out. We did outdoor dining, but I felt really like we were at a chain restaurant out in Roseville that, like, their parking lot is huge. And they had their table spaced all throughout the parking lot. So it wasn't like when I see outdoor dining, sometimes like downtown, it looks like the tables are all up on each other. And I'm like, I don't know how that's safe. But this was not that at all. So I felt like, wow, we have a lot of space between us and the next table. This is
all right. Is it the place that has C and J in the
name? Yes, it is.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Yeah, they've got a pretty massive parking lot, but I'm glad that they're social distancing, although now with all the smoke out there, the AQI today at highest was 325.
Yeah, yeah. So, this was last week before all those fires began, so yeah. it wasn't so bad.
Before the evil gender reveal parties kill people.
Yeah. And I have to say something here at some point before we get into the gaming news, because there's a lot of it. Just our hearts going out to people affected by the fires up in Northern California. I mean, that I can't profess that I know anybody in Butte Creek or have even been there, but I do know that's just down the road from where I lived for a few years in Chico, which is a much bigger college town up in that area. And it's way too close to Paradise that already went through this three years ago.
So, I already know a couple of people who are just permanently moving out of Paradise. They come back after campfire and then we're like, nope, not doing it again.
Yeah,
we have a mutual friend who left for Oregon. And it's even worse there.
Yes. Yes. And I was just about to say, Oregon is really going through it right now, too. So I thought I saw one person in chat earlier that said they were from the Oregon area. So just my heart's going out to everybody affected by this. This is so terrible. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of jokes about the gender reveal party and all that stuff. But these fires are much more than that. A fire of many fires was caused by that. But certainly the Oregon fires are a result of essentially climate change and all that. So it's I really hope we can as a society figure out how to put an end to this. It's really scary, and I know not a lot of people are out here on the West Coast. Sometimes our news really centers on the East Coast, but let me tell you, this is affecting all of us out here. Like, I have not left the house but to maybe go to a Starbucks drive-thru in like 4 days because the smoke quality is so bad. I can't breathe when I go outside.
I've started, I actually picked up a respirator for, you know, working on my ball jointed dolls because the stuff I have to spray them with is pretty toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up busting it out to go out and check my mail because since I had pneumonia, or if it was COVID, you know, we don't know because they wouldn't test me. My lungs haven't really recovered from it that much. Mm. So I would step outside and come in and have to grab my rescue inhaler. And so we had to today help Dan's grandmother. She was giving us like some plates and some old dolls and like some 50s era Pyrex, which yes, 50s era Pyrex. But I ended up having to wear my respirator to do all that work. And then we had another errand to run. And by the time I got back in the house, my head was already throbbing. My skin is looking bad. Actually, I've developed a rash from the ashes in the air. for people out there outside of this area, like, oh, it's just some smoke, you know, whatever. It's pretty
bad.
Nasty. And I even made like a terrible morbid joke, but I think my friends know me enough to know that I make this kind of joke. Is like, now we play the new game, is it COVID or smoke inhalation?
It's pretty morbid, you know? But it's accurate.
But it's accurate, exactly.
I went out to do a Pokemon Go raid, bring it to gaming a little bit. I went out to do a Pokemon Go raid at the park that's right near me. You guys know what I'm talking about. And that was it. That was all I could tolerate. And it was just like the smoke. It looked like Silent Hill out there. It looked like it was fog. The smoke was so low. It looked like Silent Hill out there. And just like when you're breathing in, it just smells like that. It's. I mean, a lot of people like the smell of smoke when it's coming from a Yankee Candle or something, or a scented thing.
Or a bonfire.
But when it's like that, it's the bonfire. Choking kind of smoke. It is not pleasant. I'll tell you that. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Don't mean to deviate too much, but it's just, it is affecting our lives. I've stayed in and I have played so much Final Fantasy 14 this weekend because of this. It's like disgusting, but it's what I have to do.
I saw your thing on the crafting you were doing.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in my gaming week. Sorry, Jamie.
I'll share this with people. I actually have several Instagrams. You know, I have that at Dark Sakura, but I also have one that's called all with no spaces or underscores, where Sakura is at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I've been putting pictures of the skies here and of course, you know, my vegetables and roses. But, it's what I made for going out and walking around when I could go out and walk around. But lately, like my last few posts have been what the sky looks like in my neighborhood and around, and actually today when I was out in Folsom.
Yeah, and here it's not really that red and orange stuff you were seeing out of San Francisco or Southern Oregon. Like it doesn't look like that here. It just looks rust. Honestly, the Silent Hill picture comparison to me is it. Like it really does look like Silent Hill out there. So
one of the pictures that I have is actually a pano. Mm-hmm. And it shows, like, I was at the Elk Grove Auto Mall because I had to get my oil change done. And the pano was me going from left to right. And you can actually see the thickness of the cloud of smoke and the difference it makes in the color.
Yikes.
So, and I'll be happy to relink that in the chat room. But just if you go to at where Sakura is at on Instagram, then I've got some pretty good pictures to show people.
All right. Well, let's get into some gaming news. We've talked a lot here in the opening about what's going on IRL.
But we have been talking about Silent Hill.
Yeah, we talked about Silent Hill and Pokemon Go. All right, let's get into some gaming news. Let's start off with probably the biggest news item from last week.
Okay.
Loki, do you want to start us off with the big item from last week?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't really any news over the last few weeks. It has been completely slow enough. So Nintendo finally put out a direct that was targeting the 35th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers. So lots of announcements around that. Of course, one of the bigger announcements is the Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which is coming out this week on the 18th, which is a combination of Super Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario Galaxy 1. Super Mario Galaxy 2 doesn't exist in their world, unfortunately. I don't know why that isn't in there. That's kind of weird. Maybe they couldn't fit it on the cartridge. I don't know. But it's not part of the collection. So that's going to be coming out soon. We do have, though, the original Super Mario All-Stars out as part of the Super Nintendo Online Library. So you can actually play that now. So that's available.
Can I stop there real quick before you get into other news? Just talking about the 3D All-Stars and the original All-Stars a little bit. Anybody here on the panel picking up the 3D All-Stars, planning on it? $60
yes.
for the... You are getting it?
Yeah, we are too.
Wow. I'm in the no camp. I'm not going to get it. And
you have to come over here and play it then.
I'm
getting it for my kids. That's it.
All right.
Because my son, who's really into Mario,
wants to play. I am my kid.
Both valid reasons. For me, like I and it's not even so much the price tag. Like I understand that $60 for three rock solid games, and I consider Sunshine a great game. I know that one is divisive for some reason in the community. My problem with it is that I don't think this collection is deserving of the All-Stars name. I said it, and I believe that. And if you want to reference what I'm talking about, go back to the original Super Mario All-Stars and look at what kind of collection that was. That was something that they really rebuilt from the ground up and put at a level that was brand new for that system that they were putting it on at the time on the Super Nintendo.
When it came out, though, those were what they had as All-Stars.
No. I understand what he's saying. He's saying basically they didn't just re-release, like, emulated versions of the game. They rebuilt the games in newer engines and put it out there. And, yeah, this is, like, hardly anything. We upscaled it a little bit.
They turned on a feature on Super Mario Sunshine that was I want to go back and fact check. Wasn't that there, the widescreen thing? Wasn't that there already? Because I know some games on GameCube, like F-Zero GX AX, supported the widescreen thing on HDTVs at the time. Now, it's been so long since I played Sunshine, and I definitely didn't play it on an HDTV when I did, so I don't remember if that was a feature. But I feel like 16:9 ratio in that era of gaming was not exactly unheard of. So it may be that they built it out and just didn't enable it. I don't know. But I'm sorry, I don't find that great of an addition compared to what these games deserve, which is, and the original All-Stars collection is not just a great collection, it stands on its own as one of the greatest video game releases of all time, period. And I would have just hoped that something labeled 3D All-Stars would kind of carry on in that tradition. And I know there's a lot of Nintendo fans out there that are going to say, ah, phooey, you're just a hater, Rob Roberts. And I'm going to let my track record on this show speak, is that I'm not a hater all the time. I will root for Nintendo and Sony and Microsoft when they should be rooted for. I will be critical when they need to be criticized. And this is one of those things where I'm like, I'm sorry, this collection feels extremely half-assed to me. And it's just they're going to go through on the strength of the originality of these titles, many of which they've released before, like Mario 64 has already been released I don't know how many times. And I just feel like, you know what? I have my 3DS. I can play Mario 64 on that. I still have my Wii U for whatever reason. I can still play Galaxy and Galaxy 2 on that because I have those original Wii discs. I'm not about it.
I just don't want to dig out the N64.
And I get it. And again, I'm not to tell anybody else how to spend their money. And I get it. And I would be lying if I didn't say
copies of Mass Effect.
I'm kind of tempted. There's a part. Excuse me. I'm sorry. There's a part of me that's a little bit tempted. But then I think what really just kind of was like, oh fuck it, was when I heard that they're doing this artificial scarcity tactic by
you have to understand they never purposely make their products scarce. It's just that they just can't import enough, you know, data to just carry this title for an extended period of time, so they have to remove it arbitrarily in the end of March for no reason.
This whole thing with them having the artificial scarcity by turning off the digital day, this makes me go back and really question when Nintendo, you know what, maybe Loki was on to something all these years. And all those times Nintendo said, nah, we're really trying to put out as much hardware as we can. Nah, we the supply is just outside demand. You know, we're really trying to put out the hardware. I feel like, God damn it, Nintendo, I'd stuck up for you all those times when it came to the hardware.
We were rooting for you.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go again.
For 14 years now.
We were rooting for you. And now it's like, I can no longer say, oh, maybe Nintendo's trying, because they made it very clear, that they are interested in creating a scarce market to drive up the value of the game and make sure this game sells a lot this holiday season, because Nintendo doesn't really have anything else save for a third party title we'll get into later. And I get that COVID screwed everything up. I get that, but that's not a reason for this game to have the artificial scarcity. It's ridiculous. I hate it. I actually hate it. And I'm going to vote with my wallet on this one.
Well, so. And they also said, like, the physical release of it, too. Like, some retailers have been saying that it's extremely scarce, the quantities that they're going to be getting, like, of the physical version of this, because they're trying to drive the price up. There's no reason why they can't print more of these cartridges.
And I'm no longer going to defend I'm no longer gonna. Yeah, I know there's some Nintendo fanboys and stuff out there that get angry when Loki goes on these tangents. Nintendo's action here of making this March scarcity day, I can no longer defend Nintendo when Loki goes on these tangents. Yes, I agree. They're making things artificially scarce.
Yes, and to go along with that, to even more frustration. So,
I'm sorry. I know you want to get to the rest of the news, but I need to get chat comments. I'm sorry, because I've been ignoring chat. And we do tape live every Sunday night at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. And Fifth Dream is in our chat room saying, Nintendo is the Disney of video games. You know what's interesting? I've heard that comparison a lot this week in talking about the scarcity. But guess what? Did you know the Disney vault is no more?
No, that's not true at all.
What do you mean? Disney,
Disney
Plus has everything except Song of the South, which is a whole nother Oprah I'm not getting into tonight.
No, they're still doing that stuff, though, with their movies. In fact, they're doing it now with the Fox movies, too, that they're putting them in the vault, so to speak. I think it's still around. But, yeah, it's less prevalent because now of the Disney Plus stuff. But that's what they're selling Disney Plus is what they're doing. But the physical, like, DVDs and Blu-rays, that stuff, it's still same as always.
But Disney did not make digital scarcity. In fact, everything is out on digital when it comes to Disney Plus, with the exception of, again, if you want to argue bits and pieces, there are certain problematic movies of the past that have these all other separate issues, and we're not going to get into that tonight. But the thing is that these other animated classics in their library, like Snow White, Cinderella, all this stuff that hasn't been on DVD and Blu-ray in years is now part of the Disney Plus library. And they kind of tore that down, I suppose.
I was going to say, to go into the March 20, once again, artificial scarcity. So the other thing that they're doing, too, Super Mario Brothers 35, which is like Tetris 99, but now with Super Mario Brothers, that's also only available until March 2021 for some reason.
You know what's weird? This one I let slide because – and when that came up first, because that was the first thing in the direct, I think. And when that came up first, I was like, all right, whatever. Maybe they just feel like the player base won't be there. Because you know how sometimes like the player base is all there and then it's like nobody's playing it online anymore. Everybody went on to the next thing. So maybe they kind of put an end date on it to just kind of have the player base there for a certain amount of time and then go on to the next thing, whatever it may be. And plus – since it is a enhancement for Nintendo Online, which we need more of those, I'm oddly okay with it being end dated in that case.
Yeah, I'm surprised
you're
that
not paying extra for it.
Hasn't been more announcements of games coming to the service because this is about the time everybody's memberships are running up because of the free memberships that they received with Twitch. Now's the time when that stuff's kind of coming back. What new stuff do you have for me? It's not really, I mean, there's this, but this is only until March. I mean, I don't know. There's not really a lot that they've announced that they've have coming. Other games that are going to be coming out next year. So Super Mario 3D World is getting re-released, and they're also adding new content to that in the form of Bowser's Fury. That's going to be coming out February 12th.
That's cool, because that's a great Mario game. If you missed it on Wii U, you really should pick it up.
Yeah, it is really good. They also announced that they're going to be doing a physical Game & Watch that's going to have Mario or Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2, the Lost Levels, as well as kind of a modified version of Ball in there as well. So that's going to be available. Sort of available. I mean, we're talking Nintendo here, so probably impossible to find on November 13th.
This is their version. This is basically what they're doing this year instead of a Nintendo Lite or what were those things called? The Mini Nintendo, the Mini Super Nintendo. Yeah. Everybody thought, oh, we're going to get a Mini Nintendo 64. And it's like, no, now you're going to get a Mini Game & Watch of sorts. And maybe next year there'll be a Zelda Game & Watch of sorts. I don't think Nintendo's ready to do the 64 collection just yet for whatever. Well, why would they when they're basically still valuing Mario 64 at $20 in this other collection they're doing? Wouldn't it be silly for them to put out the 3D All-Stars and a Mini 64 in the same year? Because both are going to have Mario 64 on it. So I feel like we're still a couple of years away. I think Game & Watch is kind of their idea. If this one does well, they'll probably do a Zelda one next year.
They showed off this new toy that's called Mario Kart Live Home Circuit. So it's actually a physical like RC car that you control with your Switch, and it uses AR and a camera that's built into the cars to create tracks and actually drive your car through the house. I don't have a house big enough for that, but my kids want it. So they're like, we have to get that. I'm like, I don't know if we're going to be able to, but that's going to be coming. Looks like on October 16th, no price announced for that.
It's $99.99. Somebody leaked, at least it was like a Walmart listing or something went up.
Okay.
I will say this. I was very hard on Nintendo earlier. So now I'll give the good news, the fanboy stuff. This looks rad. Like, I kind of just don't think I'm going to get it because my house is carpeted. I'm sure it works on carpet fine. It would just be me. Alan, I think, would walk in and go, that's interesting. And that would be about it. The cat would be terrorized by this thing. So I'm not sure I have a big need for this. I'm excited to watch other people play it. If I was the age of Loki's kids, if I was like 9 years old or so, I would be all about this thing. I would want this so fucking bad. It is so cool. But I'm not sure I can justify it for me now. But I can still look at it and go, yeah, that looks neat. And isn't that funny that the rumors were Nintendo was working on a new Mario Kart game for the holiday, and everybody just assumed it was Mario Kart 9. Oops. Oops. But this is cool.
You know what
cool.
happens yeah. when you assume.
I know, I know.
Some other smaller things that they announced. So they talked about some more tie-ins with different things. New Animal Crossing content with Super Mario Brothers themed furniture is not coming out until March. But it is coming. They're doing some Splatfests that are going to be in January. Mario themed stuff. They're also going to have some actual t-shirts and stuff you can get with the Splatfest themes that look kind of cool. They showed some shoes. So,
oh my God, shoes. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so that's pretty much what it was.
But guess what, everybody? These shoes are $300.
Probably are.
On the Nintendo, on the Animal Crossing thing, like, obviously, I know Darksoccer is all about that Animal Crossing life. I love me some Animal Crossing, too. We all do here at OLR. But, you know, let me ask this question, because they're remaking, remastering Super Mario Brothers 1, the original, like candy. It's on the Nintendo Online service. They gave it away again in All-Stars. It's on the Game & Watch. I mean, everywhere you're looking, there's a Super Mario Brothers 1. So why not, just for shits and giggles, put the damn cartridge furniture in Animal Crossing and let us enjoy the original Super Mario Brothers in our house? That would be a throwback.
Yeah, or like, how about have that furniture available if you have a Nintendo Online account, and then like say you, I mean, obviously you wouldn't
like
be visiting
what they had for the Pocket Camp stuff.
Yeah, so obviously they wouldn't have like you wouldn't say you, for whatever reason you didn't have the online. You could buy the furniture, but maybe you couldn't play it or something like that. You would need to have the online or the play the stuff. But like, yeah, I don't understand why they can't do that. I mean, it makes sense. It would work, but
that would get me really excited if they did something like that. Would be a true throwback for Animal Crossing. Would be the, you know, NES systems. I'm not even asking for everything. Okay, I just put the original Super Mario Brothers in there as a little throwback. Which was that even unlockable?
Yes.
It was
rare to unlock it, but yes, it was.
Okay, because I remember Zelda was in there, and you actually couldn't get it without like a code or something like that. Like it never actually unlocked, but it was in there. And I think there was another game along those lines too. So
Zelda, Super Mario Brothers. I can't remember the other ones. They're like
VidPower 573 says GameCube Animal Crossing was great with like the 20 NES games built into the game. What do you think was the bait that got me hooked? I would have never given Animal Crossing a second glance back then if it wasn't for that. And I actually remember, Loki, that was on you because you had a very nice situation because your work at the time, you were the one that got me Animal Crossing in the GameCube. And I'm thankful for that to this day. But I would have never said, dear Santa or dear birthday fairy, this is what I want, if they hadn't said 20 NES games in it. You know?
Rob?
What?
I played Animal Crossing on Nintendo 64 when they had on the thing out in San Francisco, and if I recall correctly, the Nintendo 64 version didn't have the games in it.
I don't believe it did. Or I think it had a reduced number. I think it had like 8 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at any, it had Clue Clue Land, Balloon Fight, Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr., Pinball, Tennis, and God,
it had the B tier games.
And you could get Warriors, Woods, and Baseball from the island.
Mm.
And then you could also pick up Soccer, Donkey Kong Jr., Donkey Kong Jr. 3, Cuckooland D, and Punch-Out. But it also, though, had in the game, you could do an e-reader for Mario Brothers and Ice Climber.
Right, and then for
Animal Force Plus, you had a Famitsu giveaway for Super Mario Brothers, and then you could cheat to get The Legend of Zelda. But these were, with the e-reader cards, they were like loyalty gifts from Tom Nook. But I mean, I didn't even know that they were in there when I was playing playing it on demo in San Francisco, and I fell in love with it because I love those kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the moment the US one came out, I had it.
You excited for the Mario furniture?
It'll be more stuff to take up space in my storage, so I'll collect it. I mean, basically right now I'm selling off everything in my storage that isn't super expensive because now I can pretty much order anything. I'm working on my catalog right now. But yeah, I mean, I'll have it for the catalog. That'll be fun.
Random Animal Crossing tangent, because that happens sometimes on this show. I saw the funniest thing on Twitter this week. It was a screenshot that was clearly done on Harvey's Island, and it had the dog. I think it's Lucky, the one that's wearing a bandage or looks like a mummy.
Yeah, that's Lucky.
And he's surrounded by bonfires and campfires, and it just says, "This is fine."
Yeah, I've
that
seen
cracked
those.
Me up.
Although I posted this a long time ago in my group, which I know you're not doing that thing anymore, but
I'm Facebook free 2 months now.
Someone made the ending of Midsommar in Animal Crossing, and I'll have to find it and link it in chat because it's the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. Especially, you know how much I love that movie.
I know. Look, I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's been kind of spoiled for me.
You
and
already
I've heard
know
about
the ending. Okay.
Yeah, and it's kind of like that's kind of like somebody did that in Animal Crossing. That's disturbing.
Well, I mean, we have Ica Village is back.
All right. Moving on. All right. Anything else in the Mario Direct that we missed? We got too tangenty.
No, I think that's pretty much everything that was announced in that Direct.
All right. Awesome. Let's move into this week.
I mean, I guess we didn't talk about Mario Kart Tour, but I don't really talk about Mario Kart Tour. But
oh,
like
the cell phone
events.
Game. I need to try it again now that you can play it in landscape mode. It sounds like about time, right?
Yeah. So they're doing an event in there as well. And then there's also something with Super Mario Maker 2. They're doing an anniversary themed Ninja speedrun course in November. That's it. That's everything.
I was hoping for my Mario All-Stars skin in Mario Maker 2. Wouldn't that have been the nice way to cap it off? Okay, maybe not. I would have liked to have seen the Mario All-Star skin in Mario Maker 2, but whatever. All right. Moving on. Let's get into what happened this week. So when we last left our adventurers last week before the big break for DragonCon/Labor Day, we were still in a stalemate between Sony and Microsoft as to who is going to unveil the details of their console first. And in kind of a surprise twist, but not quite a surprise twist, leakers beat them both to it and forced Microsoft's hand. Right, Loki?
Yes, that's true. So the first thing that was leaked out was information about this brand new console, the Xbox Series S, which we already know kind of leaked out from those controllers that came out that were mentioning the Xbox Series S. So we knew it was a thing that was going to be announced. It just, you know, when. So it was leaked out. There's video of it and the price point and everything. So it was leaked out that it was supposed to be $299. And it was going to be less powerful than the Xbox Series X, but still, you know, going to be a next-gen console. So that kind of forced then Microsoft in kind of a hilarious fashion to make that announcement official later on. So they finally did come out and say, oh, yes, you know, this is a legit thing. Then they also later on the week announced that the Xbox Series X is going to be $499, which is what it was rumored to be as well. So a little bit more details on the Xbox Series X. No disk drive. It's all digital. It's going to be basically targeting 1440p on the game.
I'm sorry. I have 4K. To back up. That's not what I'm under the understanding of. I thought Xbox X has a drive, and there's this – I know you're going to get into it, but there's another rumored spec that is the discless one.
S. The S is
driverless. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. These names
are... Yes, I know S and X sound very similar. Okay. No, I'm talking about
these names aren't great. These names are really not great. I'm sorry.
X X-ray, S like Sierra.
Yes. Okay. So S as in...
Yes, S has no disk drive. Sorry.
Yes, S. The one that... S for speaker, because it looks like a speaker grill. So the Xbox Series S is going to be targeting 1440p. That's going to upscale to 4K, though. But this is more for like folks like if you don't have a 4K TV and you just want to play the next gen games, the graphics are still going to be better. It's still going to have, you know, ray tracing and everything. It's just not going to be native 4K. It will be up to 120 frames per second, though, in 1440p. So that's pretty awesome.
Well, I'm going to tell you, here's the thing. I would imagine no one here on this panel is interested in Xbox Series S. I'm curious if anyone in chat is interested in this one. And I see this question going around Twitter a lot is, who is this console for? Who's going to buy this? I have two answers for this. Number one, there's going to be other countries where the cost of consoles is so expensive that the Xbox Series S is the only one that is like reasonable for people to probably import. And so the fact that it still will play kind of the current generation of games, I think, is an important kind of selling factor. So I think you have that. I don't think it's just for people in the US, that's for sure. Certainly there's going to be households where it's like, we just want to play Madden. Then maybe a Series S will be for them. And some folks are thinking about, you know, it's like a second console for kids or whatever, maybe for them. The other thing I don't think many people are talking about, but I think is a very important point, didn't Microsoft say last month they are no longer making the Xbox One as we know it today? They stopped making the Xbox One, and that means the Xbox One X, the Xbox One. You know, so the Xbox Series X... God damn these names. The Xbox Series S is for people who want to buy a new Xbox One.
And that's not to say that these games aren't going to look good either, because 1440p upscale to 4K is still going to be pretty good. I mean, sure, it's not native 4K, but a lot of the games, like especially out in this current generation, aren't native 4K anyways. They're upscaled from a lower resolution into 4K. So I don't think it's necessarily going to be a game breaker. You know, deal breaker for a lot of people. And to be honest, a lot of folks will rather take the $200 savings than, you know, have games look a fraction of the, you know, I guess the big difference would be it's like having a really top of the line end PC running games versus a mid tier gaming PC. Both are still going to be fine. You know, granted, one may look marginally better than the other one, but overall it's going to probably play the same. It's just, if you really, really, really care about, you know, the quality and everything, then you'll get the more expensive system. And if you don't really care, then you get the less expensive system. And maybe it's, you know, size or something. I mean, that system is much smaller. They're saying it's 60% smaller than the Xbox Series X. You know, processor wise, it is less powerful. I don't know. I mean, I definitely think that there's a home for it with a lot of people. Plus, when you consider that you're looking at the PlayStation 5, which it's got their all digital version as well, which is marginally smaller. I mean, it just looks enormous. But I guess we'll, you know, learn about that later. I think they're just trying to be competitive pricing wise, because now, like, say, you know, I mean, we're in the middle of a recession, middle of like COVID, maybe. People don't have, you know, that amount of money to drop on a console. $299 is a little bit easier of a sell, especially as part of that. One of the things that they announced is that they're bringing back the program where you can basically finance it. So you have like, I think it's like $25 or $35 a month. Plus it throws in Xbox Live Gold, Xbox Game Pass, or I guess it's Xbox Game Pass Ultimate now, which is pretty cool. So it throws all that together. And, you know, that's just a really good deal, all that thrown together.
Yeah, that's a really sweet deal, maybe for people that you know, don't have all the money necessarily right up front, but are still interested in carry on gaming again, like Madden sports games or Halo or, you know, those key Xbox exclusives that they want to play. This deal makes a lot of sense. Not for me, but for other folks that maybe can't just drop, you know, 300 or haven't been saving or whatever. It makes a lot of sense.
So a few more things I forgot to mention. Pre-orders start on the 22nd of September, so just a couple weeks away. The Series X and the Series S are supposed to be out November 10th. And then there's still a rumor out there that there's going to be one more console that's not been announced yet. The rumor is that there's a Xbox Series V that's supposed to be an all-digital version of the Series X, same spec-wise as the X, but just no disk drive. And that's supposed to be somewhere in between cost from the X and the S. We'll see if that's a thing or not, but right now let's just consider that this is it, and you know, we'll wait to see what Sony responds with.
Now the chatters, and I apologize, it scrolled off the screen before I could get to it here, but the chatters were correcting me is that not all of the old Xbox Ones have stopped production. The Xbox One X, the kind of highest end one, that did stop production. The one they're still making is the Xbox One S, which I think is kind of the budget Xbox One, which would continue to be like the budget console. But this still, I mean, the Xbox Series S still kind of replaces that Xbox One X kind of in the ecosystem. I still kind of go with what I said, but Xbox One S is now, that's like, because that's like what, $199, if that, it might be $149 at this point. That is the budget Xbox, which is still going to play a lot of stuff. But
and
that
still
is,
will play, I think a lot of these, at least the first party games are going to be compatible with it. So
yeah. Honestly, the only problem I really have with what Microsoft is doing is the naming. I think the naming is really bad. Like, look how we're confusing S and X, and they're too close.
Well, it just also sounds alike, and that's kind of confusing.
It's not good, but the consoles themselves, I think I will probably, as of today, as of this moment, I am probably going to get an Xbox Series X on launch day. I can't say the same about PlayStation 5 today. Now, obviously, and we'll get to it later in the show, you guys watching live see it on the sidebar, a lot could change this week with the PlayStation 5 showcase. We'll see. Something else about my situation that is very important that I think a lot of people are going to be kind of like, this could sway people either way. I have a PlayStation 4 Pro. I have an Xbox One. That's it. Period. Xbox One before they started out with all the numbers and the series and all that other stuff. So my point is, my Xbox One is kind of gaming technology. It's a few years behind. My PlayStation 4 Pro is not lagging behind so much. Something else that is really kind of wooing me on the Microsoft side is that Microsoft's really kind of made that commitment to the whole library is going to move up and get upscaled and be new and, you know, have a fresh coat of paint basically on the Xbox Series X. And Game Pass is a pretty sweet deal. I'm a fan, I gotta say. So all of that stuff combined is kind of putting me in Microsoft's camp today. Again, a lot could change this week with the Sony event, and I might have to break the bank and somehow be able to afford two consoles, or maybe I'll change my mind and get the PlayStation first. But as of today, in 2 weeks, I plan to pre-order the Xbox Series X. So we'll see.
Yeah, same, just because I haven't really been, I mean, right now I'm not aware of what they're launching with over there, but like, I don't know, just seeing how they've handled this generation with as far as like crossplay, mod support, all that stuff, I'm definitely leaning more towards Microsoft. It is unfortunate, you know, I have a large library of games there, like a huge library of games there, but I still have a PlayStation 4 Pro, so you know, I could still play all that stuff. I'd be curious to see what they do with PlayStation VR a little bit more once, you know, we have some more announcements there, what that's going to do for, you know, how the games are going to look on that. I'm more interested in that, but that's something that could be later on. You know, I don't have to jump in on that day one.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens this holiday, because there's a large segment of gamers out there. And that game, and it's interesting. I'm not saying I see this all the time, but a lot of times the Nintendo fanboy kind of overlaps with this group. And that's the group that says, I don't like Microsoft. I don't like Xbox. I don't like what they're doing. And you kind of go, why? And it's well, I don't like first-person shooter. That's the Halo and the Madden and that stuff. And my comment to all of that is, it is a different Microsoft now. It is 2020. Wake up, Nintendo fanboy. Wake up. And everybody out there, like, if you're one of those people that's like, I just don't like Microsoft. Wake up. Don Matrick is not running that company anymore. They have come a long way since Phil Spencer's been at the helm. Do you know how many indie games are on Game Pass now? And, like, what a good reception things like Tell Me Why are getting, which I think a lot of people are writing off and, like, forgetting that something like that exists in the Microsoft universe. So I think if you're one of those people that's, I just don't like Microsoft. You may have your valid reasons, but I want to challenge a little bit. Have you evaluated that stance in the year 2020? If you have and you're still kind of not in their camp, okay, fine, you tried. But if you haven't evaluated them in several years, I really think you should take another look. And that's my opinion.
There's just not enough out on it that makes me want to justify the cost of it yet. There's nothing that has really spoken to me that much.
I do understand there's a lot of overlap with Microsoft and Sony. And I understand that it's kind of like if you have PlayStation 5, then Microsoft really has to. And they have been lagging behind in the first party studio. But I kind of feel like we're going to see it this generation. We're going to really see Microsoft push to be at that same level that Sony's at with their first parties. But we'll see.
I'll be honest. I mean, even for PS5, all the stuff that I really want to play is on Switch right now. I'm kind of like not excited about any of the stuff coming out on any of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the first launches that I'm not remotely excited about anything really coming out on them. I mean, maybe Resident Evil Village might be worthwhile, but yeah, there's just like not a whole bunch on here that really, really grabs me. I kind of don't care.
I kind of get it.
Like I said, it's one of the first ones where I really don't care.
Not every console has had a bang up launch lineup. And sometimes consoles don't really mature into their life cycle for a year or two. I didn't get a PlayStation 3 until Little Big Planet was finally out. You know, this was like, it. You know, like that was kind of the game
Tekken,
finally got it. Yeah.
You know, then yeah, Tekken. Sign me up. I love all the Tekken games.
I do think Sony's going to draw. I think where there's all this rumble, I think there's something to these Silent Hill rumors. And I think that is going to be the thing that makes the PlayStation 5 highly desirable. But will it be a launch title? I don't think so. I think it's going to be a holiday 2021 thing. And I think COVID and that whole situation especially has kind of put the urgency on adopting these new consoles right away on the back burner a little bit. But the reason why I still kind of gravitate towards Series X in light of me just saying all that is that Microsoft, in the way that I haven't seen Sony do, has made a commitment to, hey, not only is this console going to play all the new stuff, but day one, we're going to play these optimized and new versions and new coats of paints and upscaled and making all your old games look great again. And that's kind of why I'm a little bit in Microsoft's camp right now. Because it kind of adds something sweet to that launch that otherwise is missing. So
I'll be honest, I'm probably going to still stick with a PlayStation. It's not because of any Microsoft hate. It's just that, I mean, to be honest, all the last systems have had more games that I've wanted to play. And I don't see any sign of that really changing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the biggest of priorities to me. I'm probably going to stick with PlayStation.
All right. And that's fine. But you've seen these gamers on social media and everything too, where it's like, I don't like Xbox.
It's on principle.
And it's
like, I don't like Apple because of me.
Yeah,
or, I don't like this one because of me. I'm like, everybody who's a hater, shut up and let people enjoy things.
And we can agree on that. All right. All right. Anything else on the Microsoft stuff, Loki?
No, that's pretty much it as far as announcements from Microsoft right now. So we'll have to wait and see if there's yet another system out there. I did think it was kind of funny, though, that one of the things that was shown on social media this week about the Xbox Series S is that in the video where they were talking about the Xbox Series X back in June, there was actually an Xbox Series S sitting on the shelf in the back behind Phil Spencer or whatever. But
oh, yeah.
We never saw it because it's just like unblended.
It looked like another book. Like, it's a funny little tee-hee headline now at this point, but honestly, how is anybody going to catch that? It looked like a white book. So it wasn't like the speaker side was facing out or anything. It just looked like another book sitting on a shelf. Whatever.
It's so funny, though.
It's cute. It's cute. Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the now and our gaming weeks. So we've had a little bit of time off. How was our gaming week or weeks, if we will? I'm going to just step away for a minute to get more water because I'm getting thirsty. So Dark Sakura and then Loki, how was your gaming weeks?
Well, I really just played a lot of Animal Crossing. I mean, it's been a pretty busy week because I've got a promotion at work. I'm starting my new position tomorrow. So I've had other things on my mind and, you know, family issues. But Animal Crossing has always been like my go-to comfort game. And it's really been necessary as of late. Since I finished my other word game, I'm now playing Wordscapes. And like, they do this like dumb little tournament thing like once a week or something, and I invariably finish in like between 5th to 10th place when I do it. So it's a fun little game. And for me, I like actually testing the vocabulary on these games and seeing if they actually recognize legitimate words. So I'm also trying to ease myself back into Words with Friends too, playing with a few people. And thank you, Bobby, for the congratulations. It comes with a raise. That makes me happy. But we also we traded off AC/DC temporarily for another game, but I forgot which one it was. I'll be honest. So we've been playing some pinball in the house, and we've got the Saturn hooked up, so there's been some Elevator Action Returns gaming going on, and some of that Outrun for Switch that's come out, and I think I played a couple of NES games on the NES platform on the Switch. So it's been pretty okay. And thanks everybody again for the congratulations. I appreciate it. But at any rate, I'm still like, I don't know what it is, but I'm still so antsy to have an update for Patterned that I basically am checking my Apple Arcade every day. Give me new game, you know, update my game. So, as usual. That's it for me.
All right. So this week I was mainly just working on game development stuff, so I haven't played a lot of games. I did, of course, play some Orna just to, you know, do that. I have to do my daily wars and whatnot. So I played a little bit of that. I played Hot Shot Racing, which is kind of in my background right now. So a pretty fun racing game. I've been kind of following the development of that for a while now. It's definitely a throwback to the old Sega racing games, and both, you know, in graphics, sound. There's even some tracks that are kind of similar to the old games as well. So definitely lots of throwback to that and like kind of Ridge Racer stuff. So very cool. Been playing quite a bit of that. I've been having to play some of Paper Mario and the Origami King, because my son wants me to fight the bosses for him, so I've been having to play some of that and help him out with that. So I still haven't gotten to play my save in a while. I'm still way behind him now. What else? Very little of Minecraft, although I probably want to get back into that as well at some point, and maybe even do some streaming of that. Mainly game development stuff that unfortunately I can't share with you right now. I really, really want to, but I can't.
Well, hurry the fuck up and finish a game so we can hype it here on the show.
Oh,
I promised a pizza.
Yeah, that's right. There's still the pizza competition.
I've shown one of our listeners what I'm working on, only because it was bothering me so much. Like, I was gonna put it out on Twitter.
Who?
And I didn't want to do that.
Who?
I'm not saying.
No, who? Speak up. Who is it?
No.
Show Maybe yourself. Privately, right?
Privately, yes, I've shown them. So,
Jeez, Rob, keep your pants on.
But it's gonna be hilarious. You're gonna love it once it's done. It's very cool. So, coming soon. Hopefully in the next few weeks. I'm really rushing to get it done.
Oh, I'm sure that'll bring great things for the project.
Hey, but don't rush a project. Make it perfect the first time.
No, right. No, I'm just saying, like, I've been working on it a lot. I'm not just been like kind of, you know, an hour here, wait a couple weeks, hour again. I've been working on it every single day. So,
wow,
it's getting there. No, but I'm not like rushing it, like as in bad quality. Rushing as in I want to keep working on to get progress done with it, you know, so that it's done. But, you know, been working on gameplay stuff for it. You'll understand once I'm done with it. It's completely different than what I've been working on already. Okay. And it's not in Unity.
Well, somebody knows.
somebody does know. The person that should know knows. So that's all I can say.
Okay. Oh, I have an idea what it might be. All right. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, don't rush the project, but rush telling me what it is. I just want the listener to know. And now I think I know who it is. I think you just gave a clue there. But I just want that listener to know, you know something that Jamie and I don't know. And that's not okay.
So, that'll be cool. I can't wait to share it for you.
All right. No, we're excited. We really are. All right. Okay, my gaming week. I've been playing the location-based games, of course, Ingress, Pogo, Orna. Not as much, though. Honestly, with the heat wave, I was doing so good on my walk-in for a while, and with the heat wave and the smoke and everything, like, I haven't really been outside much, so that was that. But I tried to play a little bit. I fell down a rabbit hole in these past few days of crafting in Final Fantasy XIV. I talk about that game a lot on this show because I do play it just about every night, every other night. I'll get on and run a dungeon or two, usually with Shane, sometimes maybe some other people as well, just depending on who's around. And that's kind of been a thing. But I don't know what happened. Maybe it's because in this most recent patch, they did a minor update to what they call the Ishgard Restoration in the game, which is a different way that you can level crafting and kind of contribute. Basically, it's kind of like a throwback to the Encourage thing in World of Warcraft, where everybody contributes projects that they're crafting to this project of hopefully creating a housing district in Ishgard at some point. But I have fallen, and by falling off the deep end, I mean I now have spreadsheets that I've created that I posted on Twitter that track my gathering in the diadem and how many of everything. That's the zone where you do all the crafting or do all the gathering. So it's like it tracks and like how many culinary turn-ins can I make based off these mats that I pulled from the diadem earlier today. So I have a fucking spreadsheet and everything. It's pretty nerdy, but also awesome. So that's been my life in Final Fantasy XIV.
Oh, Rob.
I know, right?
Welcome to my life in Animal Crossing.
Right? I use an
totally
app.
For my life in Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing. Actually, that app and Animal Crossing, now there's like a thing on Twitter. You send the thing on Twitter. It's like a bot. You send it a short video of you scrolling through your catalog, and it will send you a file that you can import into the app to automatically X off everything in your catalog. It's pretty rad. So
I've just been using Nook Exchange. So, okay. And because now I've got friends and I who are doing like different, like you remember Gwen from our Final Fantasy Free Company.
Oh yeah, long time ago.
Wow, yeah. We do exchanges, and our friend Melly, we do exchanges, and my friend Chris, who is Sister Jareth Harry Areola, one of my sister. Nice. We've been doing it, and a few other people. It's actually been Chris Megzi. We've been doing them. Have been pretty cool.
Nice. VidPower573 in chat says, spreadsheets, EVE Online players say hi. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. All right. other games in my gaming week. I played a lot of Super Mario All-Stars, thanks to the kind of surprise release on Nintendo Switch. Because, again, it really, and I meant to what I said earlier, it's really just one of the all-time great game releases. And I love playing the original Mario Brothers, and especially Super Mario Brothers 2. And I wanted to see if I still had it, if I could still beat Super Mario Brothers 2. And the answer is no. Or I got frustrated and turned it off because I lost all my lives before I had the chance to beat it. But I'll try again this week. I'm just a little rusty. Some new things for me that I played this week. I played a game from Hello Games, the folks behind No Man's Sky. They published a game in the past couple weeks called The Last Campfire, and I checked that game out. It honestly has nothing to do with No Man's Sky. I think Hello Games is just publishing something on behalf of a smaller indie studio that is doing something completely different. This game reminds me a little bit more of maybe like, say, a 90s PC puzzler type thing, where basically you go into these different they're kind of like spirits, but you go into these different little worlds and try to solve a puzzle to like free the spirit. And the whole thing is narrated as you played. And I'm like, I know I've seen this trick in a game before. I know it was Bastion that did that. You remember that game Bastion?
Yeah.
Where Bastion. You're playing the game, except instead of a deep manly voice narrating the game like you did in Bastion, right? You remember that? It's more of a whimsical female voice that guides you through the last campfire. That's basically the narrator in that game, but it's kind of that same twist where it's being narrated as you're playing. Act in chat says the one that looks like Journey. It kind of has a similar art style, but the games don't really play anything alike. The game is more of like a platformer, but a puzzler platformer. Maybe like Captain Toad, but that's really stretching it. I feel like I've played some 90s PC puzzler games though that are a lot like this. I've been enjoying that game. Then the other game that I've been playing, I did not expect to like this game, and I think it is really good. But this week, the Ultimate Edition, or whatever you want to call it, of Avicii Invector came out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Avicii being the musical artist that passed away a few years ago. But I think at the time he was working with this company to create a music game based on his library of music. And that game is called Invector, or Avicii Invector. And I guess it's been out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox for a little bit. I kind of missed it. But then a Switch version just came out. And with that came parody Xbox and PlayStation versions that basically add like 10 new tracks. It's like some DLC from his last album, Tim. And I think there was another album in there as well that it adds some tracks from. It is all his music, which kind of surprised me how diverse it is. I mean, of course I know some of Avicii's songs. Like, everybody's heard that, you know, wake me up when I get, you know, I don't want to get us muted either by my bad singing or from copyright, but everybody knows that song. But he has a pretty rich library of other songs, and it is that type of music that you would expect to hear in music games. And as a music game, it's pretty fun. Like, it's got a very similar but not same approach to Amplitude. It's not multiple tracks, it's just one track, but you're kind of going down this wire, and instead of moving left or right, you're rotating around the tube left or right to hit different things in there.
Sounds almost like that spin rhythm game that they have.
Maybe a little, but then at certain parts, your ship kind of takes off. Like when there's an instrumental break, your ship might take off, and then you're flying your ship through these holes, like a Star Fox type game, basically. So it's like Amplitude meets Star Fox. I'm serious. And then you actually are flying through the circles in rhythm with the music as well. And so I thought that was kind of neat. And I have to be honest, I'm going to be completely blunt. This game is what I was hoping Amplitude on PlayStation 4 was going to be. It's better. It really is. And I was surprised, because usually you kind of go, oh, it's a music game dedicated to one artist. It's probably a cash-in. It probably isn't going to be that well thought out. I was totally wrong. It's a well-done music game. My only maybe like minor criticism is that it can be really hard to see which – I'm playing on the PlayStation version, and it can be really hard to see like what button you got to press, because the way the arrows are kind of shaped is a little funky. I wish you could kind of change that. And especially when you're traveling through the wire, it does these really cool visual effects where you're kind of going uphill, downhill, uphill, kind of like – what's that other music game? Thumper. Thumper does that too, right? But – it can be hard to see what's coming up if you're going uphill and downhill. And so, I mean, I guess that's part of the game design and part of the challenge. I wish you could kind of chill that out just a little bit, but that is my minor criticism on what's otherwise a really fun music game, in my opinion. So, VidPower573 in chat says, I've played Avicii and Vector. I really, really like the music. Yeah, I was, you know, being a music game fan, I wanted to check it out, and I was really surprised how much I liked it. Again, I was expecting it like a cheap title. You know, I guess, though, like SingStar Queen and SingStar ABBA, those were based on one musician, and they turned out pretty good. So there's that. ActDev says, I really want to try that game. Well, good news. There's a demo out. I know the Switch has a demo, and I can't imagine it's not on PlayStation and Xbox as well. And it has two tracks in it that you can just check out. So there you go. Go for it. So, all right. That was Avicii Vector, and that's it for my gaming week. So, lots of games. Let's get into some other gaming news then. We've been talking a lot here at the top of the show, but we have some other news we want to get into. So we will start off with Loki.
Yes, so as we've been hinting at, there's the PlayStation Showcase, which is going to be on September 16th. That's supposed to, they better goddamn unveil the price at this point. It's supposed to unveil the price of the PlayStation 5 and, you know, what's going to be, I guess, when it's coming out and that type of stuff. So it's supposed to be 40 minutes long. It's going to air at 1 p.m. Pacific time, September 16th. And yeah, so I guess we'll have to wait and see what they have to announce there. I know that as we've been kind of frustrated this week with the whole kind of playing chicken with announcing pricing and stuff like that, and I'm sure that leaks didn't help with that. Curious to see what they respond with, if they're going to try to price themselves lower. The rumor is that they might not be lower than $499 because they're charging a premium on their system. I just hope for their sake it's not $599 because all the memes will come back, but we'll see. I mean, I'm curious, like, I don't know, like, I've been kind of, you know, pro PlayStation last generation, just with, you know, that was the only console I had, PlayStation 4. And even like this coming up generation, like, I have a nicer laptop that could run probably a lot of those games in decent settings, but I don't know. I still kind of want an Xbox Series X. I am curious to see, though, what exclusives each are going to have. I know, obviously, launch is going to be kind of all over the place, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what they announce. Like, obviously, I said before, I'm leaning towards Xbox Series X, but I'm well aware I know more about that console right now. There could still be some surprises in for PlayStation 5. If Sony announces we got Silent Hill and it's out this year, like, that is going to be a very hard thing for me to resist. A very, very hard thing for me to resist. So I might end up kind of tilting. So there's still some things that could make me want to get a PlayStation 5 this year, for sure. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to talk about, what they're going to announce. I fully expect the price to be $499. I just feel like it's kind of a different ball game this time. We had that complication last time when we were talking about PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, where Microsoft, under different leadership, was convinced they needed to bundle the Kinect in. And, you know, some people were in favor of that, some people weren't. It is what it is. That's gone. That's not a factor this time around. So I think because that's kind of out, I think you are looking at two very similar systems. And so I think you're going to be looking at similar prices. And I fully expect PlayStation 5 to clock in at $499. I also realized, because on social media, some folks were saying, well, Sony doesn't have to announce the price and date. They don't. They can do whatever the fuck they like. But I think the pressure is on. Like, they would be foolish not to. And I will say this. I would argue, yes, they do have to announce the price and date before September 22nd. Because what happens on the 22nd? Pre-orders for Xbox Series X start. And
right, exactly, because I mean, if they're not launching this year, then that's gonna kind of hurt them, I think.
I mean, you don't have to do anything besides die and pay taxes, and if you're lucky, you might be able to cheat death. But I do think Sony is under a lot of pressure. Like, it kind of has to come out this week. It would be very, very foolish, and I think they will take a lashing, not just on social media, but they will take a lashing from investors. And that audience, if they do not succumb to the pressure to put their cards on the table this week. So color me shocked if they don't price and date that thing this week.
I would think that they would have to. I don't know. I'm just curious to see, you know, what each console has to offer. Like, I don't know. I don't like playing this. Like, everyone wants to pick a team. I don't really care. I don't care who the team is because it's games at the end of the day.
Kind of what I was getting at earlier is that, you know, there are things about all the gaming companies that I love. There are things about all the gaming companies that I don't love. It is okay to root for everybody. And even though I'm sitting here saying right now my brain is kind of tilting like Microsoft this holiday, that doesn't mean I'm writing PlayStation 5 off for the entire generation. That is completely not the case. I fully expect I'll end up getting one next year. And like I said a million times now, Sony could still definitely announce something for this holiday that'll make me go, shit, I have to have that now. And we're going to be having a different conversation. Yeah.
But like, I doubt that that's going to, I don't think we would get like a Silent Hill this year or anything. If they announced that they're working on something like that, it would probably be next year. Yeah. And a lot of that stuff, like, I don't know. Like, I can wait on that stuff. Like, if there's something that's really big, like I'm excited about Obsidian's new RPG that they have coming out.
Oh yeah, that looks good too.
That's not anytime soon. I mean, but I know that's coming at some point. But it's just also like there's also all the Game Pass stuff. Like, there's a whole library of Xbox games that I haven't played yet. That I could play on this console. Like, so I'm gonna be busy with all that stuff for a very long time. Plus I still have my library of PlayStation 4 stuff, all these games I purchased, like the Final Fantasy 7 remake or Final Fantasy 15 or Kingdom Hearts 3, all Square Enix. It's kind of odd, but Just Cause 4, like all this stuff I can go back and play.
But if I was in the opposite position than I really am, and if I was in the opposite position where I had a Gen 1 PlayStation 4, you know, basically an early release PlayStation 4 and an Xbox Series X, my brain might be thinking I need to get PlayStation 5. Because even if I have a large library of PlayStation 4 games left to play, we know that PlayStation 5 is going to have the SSD drive. Those games are going to run better. It's going to carry over those enhancements from the Pro. Things will look better. So I might have answered this question differently if I had a different configuration today in my own home.
And how are they treating like PlayStation 4 games? Is the PlayStation 5 going to be playing PlayStation 4 games? I mean, how's that working with my library and stuff? Like, if I have all my games there, how's that work? And are they going to be upscaled? I mean, like that, I need all these kind of like questions answered.
Yeah, I think they've given a vague yes, because they've demonstrated Spider-Man PlayStation 4 Spider-Man runs better on 5. So they have addressed it. And, you know, there was that whole Mark Cerny talk where then PlayStation kind of had to correct it and say, it's going to be more than just 100 games, don't worry. But I do agree it would be very nice for Sony to answer the question very fucking clearly. How does backwards compatibility work? And I fully expect if the answer is it doesn't, when it comes to PlayStation 3, 2, and 1, I would love for them to go the other way than that Ubisoft leak on that, but I'm prepared for it. Then they'll probably dance around it. If they don't say it, it's not happening.
All right. Well, we'll wait and see later this week.
Yes, we will. We sure will. DJ Rama S says, there has been talk that PlayStation 5 won't be backwards compatible with a lot of PlayStation 4 games. Who's saying that? What official channel is saying that? I think what is happening, that is a misinterpretation of the Mark Cerny talk, where he said they're working on the top 100 games, but Sony did correct that and say it will be many more, which, to be fair, that is exactly what happened when the Xbox One started backwards compatibility in the Xbox 360 games. They were working on the largest titles, and then it had the side effect of, oh, but these other titles work too. By getting Halo 3 to work, oh, guess what? That made Barbie Horse Adventures work too. That wasn't on our radar, but cool, we'll add it to the list. And that's how backwards compatibility worked over there. But I'm kind of with She-Hulk 10. Keep your PlayStation 3 in good shape. Because sadly, I don't think that it should be. But that's a whole nother thing. All right. Anyway, we're going to move on. Let's go back and talk about Game Pass for a minute. Because another thing that came out this week from Microsoft's camp, some of you guys were yelling this out in chat earlier. But yes, Xbox Game Pass is going to be getting a big addition. EA Play is going to be baked into Xbox Game Pass. Okay, it's still good. I shouldn't phrase it that way, because it's still going to be a separate service. But basically, as a Game Pass member, you will have access to the entry level of EA Play. I want to point out EA Play has like a basic level and an ultimate level. The ultimate level is the one where I think you get demos of free games or demos of upcoming games and stuff like that. That is not what you're getting for free.
The base one you get the demos. I think.
Oh, do you?
the pro when you get like the actual games, like Games Pass does. But I think the base one, you get like 10 hours of brand new games when they come out.
Okay, my bad.
10-hour demos. But then you get the libraries of older games, you know, for free. That's included with it.
Yeah. So, but that is still going to really ramp up the amount of games playable on Game Pass. And that's a pretty big deal. So it didn't start yet, but it's going to start this holiday. So I would imagine around the time of the release of the consoles, probably. And you're going to get the EA Play, which used to be called EA Access, which used to be called Origin Access. They've had some troubles branding themselves. And that's going to be basically baked into it. You do have to have Game Pass Ultimate or Game Pass PC, but I think... Wait, I'm sorry. Can you have just plain Game Pass Xbox and get this?
I don't know.
Or is it... Yeah, this is... Okay, yeah. Microsoft confirmed that Game Pass Ultimate and PC subscribers. So Ultimate is both, and PC is just PC. So it is not saying anything about just having the Xbox version. So
yeah, I don't
read
know
the fine print. But I don't know about you guys. I have the Ultimate, so I know this is going to be coming with it. Not that there's a lot of EA games I get super thrilled about, but if it's true that EA is going to be putting out a Mass Effect remaster, and if that is a part of this service, I'll be very happy about that. That's for sure. And you know what? Maybe I would try more things like NHL and some of the sports products if I didn't have to pay $60 for them. I might be inclined to try some of these sports games I otherwise don't usually look at. Game Pass has challenged me to play more games I might not usually play. So there is that. So, all right. S2100 Matt says, be still my heart, Rob. Well, why wouldn't I? I'm already paying for Game Pass. So if I can try out the NHL game for free, why wouldn't I? Free, using my quotey fingers. Questbuster says Mirror's Edge is really good. Yeah, that would be another one that would be in the library. So, neat. All right, let's move on. How about something from Nintendo's camp, Dark Sakura?
Yes, stuff from Nintendo, which is actually pretty, pretty cool. I actually missed the first Hyrule Warriors, and I really wanted to play it because I wanted just to play around as Linkle, because she was cute. But Nintendo of America did announce recently that there's going to be a new Hyrule Warriors being worked on by Koei Tecmo and Nintendo, and it's Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity. It should be out on November 20th of this year, and it's set right before the 100 years before the events of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. So you basically are playing the active participants that you're seeing through all these flashbacks, all the heroes that were working with Link and Zelda, the champions, you get to play with them. Zelda will be playable. She apparently gets to use the Sheikah Slate, you know, stuff like that. And so the thing that I'm actually interested in for this is just having, like, hopefully a little bit more lore, because I love the universe of Breath of the Wild. And looking at some of the promotional artwork for it, it actually just looks very gorgeous. It has the same overall animation style that Breath of the Wild does. And I think it's going to be a fantastic tie-in.
Yeah. You know, this isn't technically a first-party release, but it feels like it because it's a Zelda game. And I think this is a very smart thing for Nintendo to be pushing this holiday between this and the Mario Kart real-life thing. I think that's a pretty strong holiday lineup when we were expecting this year to be pretty quiet due to COVID and so forth. And we've kind of been getting that sense that Nintendo maybe has been challenged with this situation more than anybody else just because of how silent they've been. But I think this new Hyrule Warriors is really exciting, and Jamie, I would loan you the first game. I think I've got to have it somewhere. I don't think I bought it digitally. I think I do have it on cart, and I would loan it to you. It's a fabulous game.
I'd be happy to play it. I mean, Dan and I could play it together, but yeah. You know, right now what happens with games that I borrowed?
Yeah.
They get Animal Crossed.
Well, maybe this will be something that can be a distraction for a couple days, because
I still need to get back into Last of Us, but yeah, I would be happy to borrow it when we have a day that isn't on fire.
Yeah, right. Hopefully that'll come. Weren't they saying it might rain in Oregon next week? Hopefully. I hope that's true. I really hope so.
But who knows? Maybe someone in my house will take another stop by a local See's Candy and share the goodness.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's move on while we – well, actually, quickly, Loki, just a pulse check on you. What's your thought with Hyrule Warriors?
I do want to get it. At least I showed it to my son who's been playing through Breath of the Wild, and he's like, we got to get that.
Yeah, I think – I think this might be a 3-for-3 type of situation, because I think this is one where, even though I wasn't so hot on the 3D All-Stars, I was a fan of the first Hyrule Warriors game. It always impressed me just how many characters are in that game. You play it. You can play as like 15 different people. And I'm like, who the fuck is this?
I was always on the fence about buying it. Like, I almost had purchased it so many times, but I just never did. So I may have to do it now. I may have to get the new one, and then may go back the old one as well.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I'd rather see Persona 5 Scramble than a Hyrule Warriors TBH, both Masu games. Yeah, these Dynasty Warriors, right? Is basically what all these games are based on, essentially.
Yes.
Yes, there is that Persona one. There was another one not that long ago too, that was like a Dynasty Warriors-esque type of game. Damn, I can't remember. Somebody in chat maybe will yell it out. But I remember playing 99 Nights on Xbox 360 and thinking that was much better than most people gave it. Fire Emblem, thank you. It's Fire Emblem Warriors, but DJ Rama S says it was horrible. So that was the other one I was trying to think of. All right. Let's move on. More Nintendo news. Loki.
Yes. So there's been a rumor for a while now that there's going to be some sort of Switch Pro or something coming out. And that's still a thing. Apparently, though, there's more rumors that there is going to be an upgraded Switch model coming out in 2021. And along with that, apparently Nintendo started asking some of the game developer studios out there to start making Switch games 4K ready. So I think the rumor is that it's going to be some sort of upgraded Switch that's going to be able to output to 4K. I'm not sure if that necessarily means that they're going to have older titles as well, but, you know, maybe we'll get some sort of news about this in the next few months. Maybe this coincides with that March 31st date. Maybe there's a whole reason why those digital games aren't available after that. Maybe a new system's coming out. We'll see. I guess we'll have to wait. Speculate until then.
Interesting take. Now, that would be very interesting if that is the reason why these games are suddenly unavailable. It has to do with some type of new system. But again, I'm not sure logically why that would be the case, especially if this is supposed to be like a Switch Pro. But
yeah, and it wouldn't be. I can't imagine that would be the case. It's probably just, I don't know. I don't know why you would make a digital game available for only a limited amount of time. I don't know, but I guess we'll find out. I'm waiting to hear more news about that. I would like a Switch Pro, so I actually have a Switch I can play. The rest of my family has mine. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with that.
I'm excited.
Or a 4K Mario game.
I'm excited at the prospect of them going to 4K. One other thing I have to worry about buying this holiday is a 4K TV. Let me ask you nerds in chat, and you nerds here in the room. Obviously we've all seen there are super cheap 4K TVs right now, right? Like I can get a 4K TV for $399 or $499. But it's come to my attention that I should really look into either the OLED or whatever Samsung's version of that is called. They have something different. But I think I'm right now leaning towards the OLED. That is like a $1,400 TV, but damn, it looks good. Like I saw it in the store at like Costco, and then I saw another one at Target, and I was like, this looks good. And I'm trying to future-proof my TV a little bit, because the problem with the TV I have now, A, it's not 4K. B, I bought it right before HDR became a thing. So my TV doesn't even have HDR. So it kind of pissed me off when that started taking off, because I dropped quite a bit of money on that old TV. So my question to you guys in chat room is, should I just buy the cheap TV to get it done with? Or if I have a night, if we've been really good at saving this year, and you might be thinking, like, Rob, you're talking about buying a PlayStation, or an Xbox, a TV. That's a lot of money. Well, I didn't go to any conventions this year, so that has saved quite a bit of money. So, and I've been very fortunate with circumstances of my day job and stuff like that. So should I just invest and get that better TV? Because I feel, or what seems like a better TV, or is it better? Because it seems like it might be. So
it depends what you're looking for. I mean, really, a lot of those, it comes down to, like, you know, even just like contrast, HDR, you know, what type of features you want in it and stuff. Just watch a lot of TV reviews out there. I mean, even some of the cheaper TVs aren't so bad. I have a it's a not too expensive TCL TV, and it's fine. It's 4K, and it seems okay. It's just if you're really like a video file or something, you may want it a little higher end, but I wouldn't spend like, I don't think you necessarily need to spend $1,400. It depends on how big of a TV you want.
55-inch is what I was looking at.
Oh, then yeah. Oh God, no. You probably wouldn't. I think we bought a really large one for my mother-in-law that was like, I think it was like 600, but it was like a 60 or 70-inch TV. It was ridiculously huge. I mean, that TV looks huge. But just make sure that the latency on it is low. That's definitely important. A lot of TVs are pretty good about that now.
Real quick, sorry. Bonds 006 says OLED and QLED. You can't lose going with either one. It's QLED was the Samsung one I couldn't think of. Sorry, guys. Thank you. Tiger Claw says, if you care about 120 frames per second, then you would need to get a 4K that has the HDMI 2.1 inputs. Those TV are 120 megahertz. So I think he's kind of giving me a hint at how to future-proof, because 120 frames a second is where things are going, it sounds like.
It is.
S200 Matt says I could get a 55-inch under 1K. I could, but can I get an OLED QLED under 1K? Actually, I think a QLED is under 1K. And then some folks saying best time to buy a TV is November. Yes, a few shout-outs for Costco. That's actually what we were looking at. Something else that's happened during all this. We haven't had a Costco membership ever, but Alan finally jumped the shark and got one. So we probably will get from them, and that's who I've been kind of pricing with. So we'll see. We'll see. All right. Anyway, let's move on. I want to move on and get to some more stories here. Let's get to a story on an old classic, which is funny because this is a game that I feel like is going to be 120 frames a second and 4K and all this stuff when it's Minecraft. But Minecraft is getting
Minecraft.
I know. But you know what? It's a solid game. You know, like there's a reason it's lasted this long. And it's moving into another new thing, and that is PSVR. That's right. PlayStation VR is going to be getting a VR version of Minecraft, which when you consider that Minecraft is a Microsoft-owned thing, it is. Of course, Minecraft has existed on PlayStation, but you were kind of getting the sense that it was PlayStation was kind of supported second. So it's interesting that I think that the PlayStation VR is getting a version of it, because they really could have probably skipped it and no one would have cared. This is not a new game. If you own existing Minecraft on PlayStation, you will be given the VR patch for free. So that's pretty cool. We don't know what the date is, though. There will be two modes for the VR, immersive and living room. But they don't say how that works. My thought is
I can tell you how it works, because Sure.
It's going to be like No Man's Sky, where one mode you can use your D-pad to move around in full 3D, and that's for, like, you know, people that want to have the full VR immersion. The other mode is for people that maybe don't do so well with VR and need to take it a little easier, and that's where you kind of project yourself forward. You're not actually having the full motion. You're moving like a couple like it's a game board. You're moving a couple squares ahead at a time or a couple squares left. That's my guess.
You're close. Okay. So the way it works is the living room mode is basically a virtual VR living room that you're literally playing it on a virtual screen.
Oh.
So it's just 2D Minecraft in VR, but you're playing it. It's like a VR living room. Immersive is actually in VR. So the way they have Minecraft, you can actually do two modes. They have there's a motion mode where you can move with just the controller and move around and everything independently. And I think there's also a teleportation option as well. When I was doing it on Gear VR, it was with just like actually moving around and stuff. And it was all right. I didn't feel like really sick from it or anything. And it worked fine on the Gear VR. I think that's also how they work. The mixed reality version on Windows 10 works as well, as like that. So I'd be kind of curious to see, you know, I'll definitely, you know, play it again because it was fun while I did it. But you know, with the Gear VR is kind of hard to play that for a very long time.
Yeah.
But I still got to figure out how to do that with my, you know, the Rift S right now on the, cause I have the Windows 10 version, so I should be able to do that. I just haven't figured out how to do the VR part on that.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize the Gear VR version was a thing. So I guess they already have a VR. So maybe it wasn't as much of an investment to make the PlayStation VR version work. It's probably some type of adaptation of the Gear VR version. Maybe not literally, but I'm sure a lot of the code that made the Gear VR work is making PlayStation VR work.
Right, because basically those versions were all based off of Pocket Edition, which is now what Bedrock is, and that's the one that's on all the other platforms, so it's easier for them to develop for that now. It's not straight Java.
I mean, it's probably one of those things I'll try once and go, huh, interesting, and then never do again. That's kind of how what I was with No Man's Sky. I love No Man's Sky, and it is gorgeous in VR. I just can't play it in VR for very long, because I just get really like, this is too much, sensory overload. But that's why I think, you know, the VR is very much like cell phones for me. Games that are designed with it in mind are always better than the other games that kind of like have VR injected into it. You know what I mean? Beat Saber, fun. Tetris Effect, fun. But these games that kind of inject it after the fact, like No Man's Sky, is kind of like, oh, okay. That's kind of how I feel about it. All right. Let's move on. We have a few more stories for you guys. Dark Sakura, this is kind of a neat one.
Yeah, I came across this one and actually posted it in my Animal Crossing community I run on Facebook, but I thought it was really great. And I'm going to start off by saying how much I love and support the Trevor Project. They are for suicide prevention for LGBTQA plus youth, and they do some amazing stuff. Their website is thetrevorproject.org. But at any rate, they have released Animal Crossing clothes to help prevent youth suicide. You know, basically just to bring awareness out there and make, you know, put out the colors for the Trevor Project and offer just a way to keep that awareness going by using their branding. I mean, and they actually, you know, it was actually stated from a Nielsen survey that 10% of all gamers over 18 identify under the rainbow, and that they spend more on games than peers in similar age groups. So if you want a little bit more about helping to downloading the items first of all, but then going in a little bit more for helping youth with their charity, the creator code is M like Mike, A like Alpha, 7248170215 36, and you can access by searching the custom design portal inside the Able Sisters, and the items will all say TRVR, so Tango Romeo Victor Romeo cap or overalls or whatever. And then if you want a little bit more, you can also go to trvr.org/care, C-A-R-E, Charlie Alpha Romeo Echo. But I love that they're doing this. I love that they're reaching out to the community to do this. And I'm going to share the link in the chat room.
I think that's a great thing, and it's a great charity because, you know, these times are really difficult, you know, with the pandemic going on and the fires and just everything. There's so much, you know, and the social justice movement and everything. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. And it can really cause people to, you know, have some really bad mental health days. Like I've been very open about this on Twitter. Like there has been some days lately where I'm just like, I'm not having a good day today. I'm not. And it's just that constant, like, I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. And imagine if you are a young LGBTQIA, et cetera, a young rainbow person that is stuck in a, we'll just say, abusive environment towards, you know, your gender identity or your sexuality or whatever it is in the rainbow community. Like, you know, if you are in a situation and you can't leave it because of everything else that's going on in the world, that can be very, very troubling for a person's mental health. So I'm glad we're taking a moment, even if it's through a video game, even if it's through a social phenomenon like Animal Crossing, to kind of bring some attention back to that, because people be struggling right now, yo, and it's people are struggling in all sorts of different ways. So,
oh, agreed. And I mean, and I'll go ahead and I'll be a little bit more open with this right now. With the year that we've had with Dan's mom, and you know, losing my dad a few months ago and everything else going on, you know, it's, I'm actually, having to take, time off to deal with things. I'm going to be going actually into some therapy myself, and I encourage everybody, there is no shame in seeking help.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you need it, please reach out to your resources. There are some free services out there. If you're a veteran, you can try to find something through the VA. You know, look to the charities out there. There are resources out there for you one way or another. And just know that there's a phrase that my old manager used to have outside his cube that said, be kind, for everybody is fighting a hard battle. Those battles may be very private, they may be very public, but everyone is struggling and we should be kind.
And the concept of going to the doctor when you're sick is not one that you should be embarrassed of. It's, you know, you have a flu, or if you suspect you have COVID, nobody gives that a second thought, right? So why, again, think of the saying, you go to the doctor when you're sick. Why shouldn't that apply to all types of sick? So,
well, and, you know, it's like, you know, when people are like, oh, you know, I'm having a depressive episode, they're like, well, did you try yoga? Did you try eating fruit? You know, which I've heard everything under the sun.
Yeah,
Like, well, I'm sorry about your broken leg. Did you try, you know, doing yoga with it?
Yeah, it's,
no,
it's,
you went to the doctor and you had it set.
It's the equivalent of when I have a cold, I have these symptoms. Did you take zinc?
Well, zinc actually does have a medically proven, but still.
You
well,
understand.
It's the same thing.
You get what I'm getting at, right?
And I'm actually going to go, may I tangent a little bit?
60 seconds.
Girl. Anyway, and I'll go ahead and let everyone know this. I've been on medication for depression and anxiety since I was probably still a late teenager. And there's people out there like, oh, it's going to change your brain chemistry. Well, that's the fucking point. My brain chemistry was making it hard for me to function around other people. I would be dead if not for the drugs that have saved my life by improving my mental health and my ability to cope with things. I had years of undiagnosed autism that once I got my diagnosis, they were able to change my medication to tweak it to that so that it assisted with the way I function in life. And Rob, I think you remember when I decided to quit my meds once and how insufferable I was. Yeah. Everybody, please thank Rob for his heroic sacrifice, for having experienced that so none of you have to. But, you know, just say right now, you know.
Wasn't that
don't
like
be one
on
of
a,
those,
wasn't that a Disneyland trip when that
it
all
was
happened?
At Disneyland and we yeah, had it out and
that was a
it
day.
Was my birthday. It was my birthday.
That was a day. And it I think the only reason
day.
I didn't kick your ass, metaphorically, not I would yeah. never actually, but you know, metaphorically, was that it was your birthday. And I was like, I'm going to yeah. be very fucking polite because it's her birthday.
Oh, then we had it out and I think I went back on my meds like right when I got back to Sacramento.
Yeah.
So,
but sometimes you fight with your sisters. It happens. There's a little hair pulling and then you work it out.
But, you know, just to say, you know, the next time, and if you have ever said this to somebody, I hope it was so far in the past and that you've learned your lesson. But, you know, if someone's on medication, at the moment someone says, well, you should just try doing this, you know, holistic, blah, blah, whatever, tell them to kindly shut the fuck up. And
you need to try my vagina scented candle from Goop.
That bitch. No, just tell them to shut the fuck up and actually talk about shit they really know about. Okay, that's all.
Yep.
If you have someone in your life who's suffering, offer to let them talk about it, but respect if they say no. Just let them know that you're there.
I think I broke the break man in chat who's going, what the fuck? It's a real thing, buddy. Look it up.
Yes.
Or don't. Actually, don't look it up. you've had enough.
I'm coming in hot.
You've had enough
links.
For one night. All right.
Gwyneth Paltrow is crazy.
To be fair, though, she feels that it smells like flowers and stuff, so it doesn't actually smell like, you know,
what
any body part.
What I actually love is that it's labeled as bougie parfumé. And she wants $75 for a fucking candle. Like, I can make a candle that smells like a twat, and I can make it a lot cheaper.
Right. Moving on, please.
Anyway, yeah.
Let's try to get back to the good message we were trying to get to at the beginning, and that is,
yeah.
And some of you guys were saying this in chat as well, is that, you know, the way Animal Crossing has really kind of helped. SG100 Matt in chat says, Animal Crossing came at the right time for plenty of folks who needed that escape and sense of enjoyment. 2020 has sucked. DJ Rama S says, I truly love how Animal Crossing has been bringing so many people together. Yes, for sure.
See, now we have Pod Culture saying that we should have Dream merch. So the twat candle.
Well, yes to merch, no to that candle. You want a Mr. Smoosh's litter box candle? Is that what you want, America?
I'll make a twat candle, but twat's gonna stand for something. I just haven't decided what yet.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow,
I'll make one twat candle and send it out to somebody.
Sia Tabiri suggests Stroop Trop waffles. Stroop twat waffles. All right.
Okay.
Moving on, please.
Yes.
We had other big news this week. We had a whole third-party news thing we haven't even talked about yet, right, Logie?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Speaking about twats, let's talk about Ubisoft. So
major
first
twat.
So first off, you had their CEO come out and make a separate apology video. Of course, that wasn't part of this presentation, but he's sorry for stuff and promises that things will be done. Let's roll
actions
our eyes
speak
for a few
louder
seconds.
Than words, my friend. Yeah. Put your, I mean, I know they're talking about, and some of the things they're talking about sounds promising. So actions speak louder than words. Let's see it happen. Make it happen, buddy.
Yeah. But anyway, so during their Ubisoft Forward showcase, they were talking about some new games and some older games and stuff like that. So some of the things that they're showing off, Immortals Fenyx Rising got a release date. It's now December 3rd. That was originally a game called Gods and Monsters, which looked kind of interesting, sort of like a Zelda-type game. So that's something coming out later this year.
Yeah, game was neat.
A remaster of Prince of Persia Sand of Times, I guess, or I guess maybe a remake. I don't know. A remake, I guess, that is going to be coming out at some point. So it's in the works. They announced that Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell is going to be coming into Rainbow Six Siege. Finally going to be remastering and re-release. I don't know if it's a necessary remaster. At least re-releasing the Scott Pilgrim versus the World game.
Nice.
Is going to be coming back out now on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, Switch, and Stadia. That's coming out this holiday.
A lot of people really happy about that one, and yes. I understand.
Very cool. Aiden Pierce is going to be back in Watchdog Legion. So he is from the very first Watchdogs games. And apparently that's only as part of their season pass DLC or whatever. So neat. I guess if you get the DLC or the season pass, you also get the original game. Funny enough, I actually have the original game. Still haven't played it to this day. I have it in the package, but still haven't played it. And then, of course, they announced a brand new game called Riders Republic, which is from the makers of Steep. It definitely looks like Steep in a lot of the sense of that game. This is kind of more of like an extreme downhill racing game. Almost a little bit like MotorStorm meets Steep. I don't know. It's interesting. So that's something that's going to be coming out a little bit later. Also, from their pre-show, they are showing off some more stuff as well. Far Cry is getting a new VR game, Far Cry VR Dive into Insanity. It's going to be a multiplayer game up to 8 people coming out in 2021. They had this Damon Paris Journey Back in Time, which is like some VR Notre Dame. I don't know.
Notre Dame?
Some sort of game.
Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, so it's something that's coming out, I guess, for the Oculus. They are showing this game Roller Champions, which is still coming out next year. They talked about this game's Monster Prom is getting a sequel, Monster Prom 2 Monster Camp. It's in development. And yeah, just more content coming to the other games. So Division 2, For Honor, Crew 2, all getting more content. So
nice.
Neat. Yeah.
A lot of good stuff coming. I mean, obviously, you know, there's very fair criticisms in how they've been responding to some of the criticisms out there. But from strictly a game's perspective, the games are looking pretty cool out of there. So No One Special 77 in chat says, I probably won't buy the Scott Pilgrim game if it's sold exclusively through Uplay. Maybe Steam, but I prefer GOG TBH. I haven't heard of Ubisoft selling anything exclusively through Uplay. I bet if they do, it won't be for very long. It'll probably be for the first month, but it'll be on Steam and probably Epic.
Have they been selling stuff through Uplay exclusively? Yep. I thought they've been doing stuff
I don't know
like,
about exclusively, but they do sell things through their own storefront. They sure do.
Have they been doing stuff through Epic, though? I can't remember if they're one of the companies that was doing stuff through Epic or if they've gone through Steam
recently. I think both.
Hmm.
But I could be wrong. Yeah. It's hard to keep track these days.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's still exciting to see that game coming back. So pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on, let's talk about this is kind of neat. Another company, very different company, doing kind of a collector's set. So it's Annapurna Interactive. And you may or may not have heard them. They do a lot of kind of, I guess, more like artistic and indie games that are available on PlayStation 4. And other systems as well. I know they put games out on Switch, but this collection we're talking about is for the PlayStation 4. And what's really cool about this is that Annapurna is going to be teaming up with IM 8-Bit to do a physical PlayStation 4 box set with 8 games. So it's going to include games like What Remains of Edith Finch, Sayonara Wild Hearts, Donut County, and Outer Wilds. So, you know, these are all games that they've done. But what's also really cool about this is that some games have never been released on a physical format before, including Goroga is one of them, and Telling Lies, which I talked about on the last OLR because I just got into that game a few weeks ago, and I really liked it. And so it was very different, but I really liked it. So it's kind of neat that they're doing this box set, and it looks pretty cool. Now, it's going to set you back. It's $179.99, so $180 for this with exclusive cover sheets and anything, but it is meant to be a collector's item. If you want to spend another $20, you get the deluxe PS4 limited edition with an ultra-premium custom-designed folio package and a foreword from the founder of Annapurna, Nathan Gary, and some statements with the team behind each game. There will be a limited run of 2,000 copies for that. So that's going to really be for the diehard fans. But you know what? That company's put out so many good games and just like artsy indie titles that really resonate. I bet there will be a lot of people to go for that. So, all right. So now we're going to take a trip back in time. We're going to go back to there was no 8-disc collector set of things. Well, I don't know. Maybe you would have collector sets, but they came with a dish and a spoon or a poster.
Not those were a pillowcase.
All right. You know I'm talking about the classic game of the week. And every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you kids should be checking this game out. What is the classic game of the week, Dark Sakura?
It's Techromancer, suggested by my very own Dan. So Techromancer is an arcade game. Its Japanese game was Chokosenki Kikaio. Which was a 3D fighting game that came out in 1998. By the way, that name means Chronicle of Super Steel Warrior Kikaio. Kikai is, it means machine. So it was basically a fighting game that was based off of different subgenre of mecha anime. And of course it did come out to the Dreamcast as things in that era did. So basically, you control a giant robot and you fight one-on-one combat with another giant robot. And the cool thing about this is that the Studio Nui, which is it's the same animation studio that did the mechanical designs for Super Dimension Fortress Macross, which, as we know, was Robotech in the U.S., but they designed the robots for the game. It's so funny because you totally have this one that looks kind of like Mazinger Z style and everything is pretty cool. So at any rate, you are far in the future of Earth and you have advanced technology and everyone can just like chill. But then a alien tyrant named Goldbius invades and you gotta fight. So you have two primary modes. You have story mode and hero challenge mode. The Dreamcast one also had mini games that could be played on the VMU to get more points. in Japan, the game was re-released as Choko Senki Kikayo for Matching Service, which Matching Service is usually just for online play, and it had online functionality. So you have a flat 3D pane with buildings and other things scattered around. And if you destroy the terrain by either breaking them or walking through them, you get power-ups, and you can get three different weapons, armor or life power-ups, a hero mode power-up, which increases the power of your mecha attack, and you can also get additional abilities or different moves. So instead of having a round, your match is decided by your life meter. So you have two life meters, and when the second one is depleted, then you're done. And then you also have an armor gauge that can be broken and lowers your overall defense. Then you also have at least two super attacks and a final attack, which you can use when your opponent is down to the last 50% of their second life bar. And it's usually like an insta-kill. It was actually listed as one of the most successful arcade games in Japan. Game Machine listed it as the sixth most successful. The Dreamcast game, in the U.S., it wasn't really seen as great in the U.S. as it was in Japan, just because that same level of nostalgia, I guess, isn't present here as it would have been for the whole series of mecha anime that had existed since, you know, the 60s. I mean, 60s really, you know, you have your Tetsuo on Adam, you have Mazinger Z, you had everything leading up then into, like, even Gatchaman in the early 70s, you had all kinds of, you know, there's a lot more, I think, nostalgia for it in Japan than there was for it here. But it got a 29 out of 40 from Famitsu. It was generally considered favorable. So, I mean, and we know how stingy Famitsu is. So, yeah, overall got really, really good ratings, anywhere from average to the higher end of the scale. And that is Techromancer, which, there you go.
I'm curious, before we go back to the show, if Loki has ever checked this game out, because I know you're a big mech person, and so this is like a mech fighting game, so I'm curious if this is something that it was ever on your radar, Loki.
No, I was unaware of the whole game.
But yeah, interesting. Yeah, I have to admit, I was not very familiar with this game either, so, but you said it didn't have like a huge reception in the U.S. really compared to Japan, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like, the people who liked it really liked it. I mean, it is sort of, you know, it's a genre game. And, you know, if you're looking at the video here, you know, it's like each of these mecha come from their own, like, anime series. They've got little intros and special logos for them and everything. So, so the game is really, I would even say, a love letter to the mecha genre.
Yeah, and sorry, just some quick comments from chat that kind of along those same lines. Orange Wright says, love how everyone has their own logo. Questbuster says, yay, Techromancer, I still have this for my Dreamcast.
Well, and Bones006 wants me to keep, you know, naming off mecha anime. So I was actually thinking, though, of Cyberbots. It kind of gives me a little bit of a Cyberbots feel, but Cyberbots was 2D. But I mean, we also had, you know, I mentioned Mazinger Z. We had that was a Go Nagai anime, who also gave us Devilman. You remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
We had Tetsujin 28 Go, which we got in the U.S. as Gigantor 1963. We had Gundam, the whole Gundam series as a big space saga with giant robots. And I'm sure Gundam Wing was really, I think, the one that kicked the Gundam series into popularity here in the U.S. We had Vanguard Ace. We had, for us, we had Go Lion that turned into the Lion Voltron over here. And we also had Dairuger 15 that became Vehicle Voltron. Evangelion can even be considered a mecha anime, even though that they are not really mecha, they're organic. Mm. And then, of course, all these things, you know, I would think that if you released a mecha game now with the advent of Pacific Rim, for an example, you know, and that a lot more people are more well versed in various anime. You know, a lot of people have gone back and tried to discover the classics. You know, and that I think that maybe the game might have a better chance right now. I mean, so we had a Voltron, kind of a redo that was released in the U.S. But I mean, I remembered loving my mecha anime in like the 90s, like Palabor. Even Dominion Tank Police could be considered a mecha anime, of course. See, now I'm just thinking of all of the various kinds, because I do love my mecha anime. I liked Gundam 08 the MS Team. I like Turn A Gundam was actually pretty interesting. Even Transformers, I think, could be considered a mecha anime of sorts. But I mean, you know, we had our introduction to a lot of this when we were a lot younger. You know, well, even with what they did for Robotech over here, we had Macross, we had Mos Beta. Bubblegum Crisis could be considered a mecha anime. Mm. So, which hopefully some of these names are actually, you know, familiar to people, you know, Fire Robo, all of that, so.
All right.
I love me some mecha.
Mr. Izos in chat says, I keep reminding people of a PS2 mecha game called Robot Alchemical Drive,
yeah.
RAD, which started my obsession with mecha animes.
So, I remember that one. Yeah. Questbuster brings up Robot Carnival, which was it was pretty good. Metropolis, I think. Metropolis, and there was the I can't remember her name. Or the Rose, the opera singer.
All right, I'm going to bring us back from the classic game segment there. Yeah, I turned off the B-roll, but no, it's all good. Trip down memory lane. But Techromancer is your classic game of the week. There you go.
There you go. Techromancer is awesome-tastic, and you need to play it. And then, but also play Cyberpunk.
All right. We might talk about some of these other games in coming weeks. That's for sure. But I know for tonight, Dark Sakura, I know we have to let you go a little early tonight because you have some family things to take care of. But thank you, of course, for being here, as if I have to thank you. You've been here every week, but still appreciate it, nonetheless.
Mostly weeks. Yeah. real life. Sometimes real life has different designs on my time.
Yeah, understandable. There's a lot going on.
There's another one, too. Sorry.
Any final thoughts for our listeners before we let you go?
I encourage everyone here in California. Sorry, my glasses are all smoky. Number one, I have new glasses, and I think they're freaking adorable. And yes, I sprung for Prada. Second, if you're out in any area, do not go outside without your mask. Even if you are not sick, other people may be. Please be respectful of other people by wearing your mask properly, covering your nose and your chin, and do not put it to your chin, because with the moment you pull it back over your face, germs that you have on your skin from your neck will go over your face. Second of all, make sure you wash all of your hands, 20 seconds, sing I Will Survive or something, or some Dolly Parton. And also here in California, if you can swing getting filters for your masks or getting a respirator mask, please do it. Don't go out there and damage your lungs. Just stay inside and stay safe.
Play some games. All right.
And don't go to any concerts. God damn it, Smash Mouth.
All right. Thank you, Dark Sakura. We'll see you next week.
Boy.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Let me just, while I fix the Discord there so we can see Loki front and center. All right. Let's get into some rapid fire news, some quick headlines for the week. Loki.
So, yes. So there's some new games coming out. So one of those from one of my favorite companies, D3, is releasing yet another Onichibara game. That's the Bikini Samurai Zombie Slayer game. That's going to be coming out October 14th. Onichibara Origins on PlayStation 4 and PC. So it is what it is. They had a very interesting debut, like release date trailer for it. I think it had, I can't remember which Japanese artist was in, but it's a Japanese metal band. So interesting. And then, of course, another kind of eclectic game like that as well. No More Heroes 3, unfortunately, is going to be delayed to 2021 because, of course, COVID-19. So they've said that because of that, their team has been hard hit at Grasshopper Manufacture, And so that they've decided to focus on prioritizing quality and to push back the final release date. So now it's coming out in 2021 instead of this year. So I can wait. Looks good.
Who knew there were so many similarities between No More Heroes 3 and Marshmallow Peeps, also not coming out this holiday season? Sorry, it's a terrible joke, but it's true.
For this holiday, for Halloween?
Yeah, you know how they do Peeps every... Now they do Peeps, like they do pumpkin Peeps for Halloween. They'll do, like, peppermint Peeps for Christmas. They'll sell those things year-round for anything.
You're only supposed to put that out Easter.
Anymore. Not anymore.
It's the only one I recognize.
All right, some rapid-fire headlines for me. Apparently, the Ninja Gaiden trilogy has been registered as a trademark for PlayStation 4 and Switch. This is a Hong Kong software distributor, GameSource Entertainment, listed these for Nintendo Switch platforms in 2021. Oh, remember the days when things would get spoiled from distributor release dates, Loki? Remember
Good
the days?
Times.
So this may be a thing. Apparently, the listing was eliminated, but some folks over on a big forum caught that. And there's apparently a bundle with Ninja Gaiden Sigma, Sigma 2, and Ninja Gaiden 3 Razor's Edge from 2012. So it's a huge...
I
was thinking it was the original trilogy. I got excited.
No.
Damn. All right, so it's the newer games. Well, those are okay. That will be coming out apparently in March for $40. Okay, so a new Ninja Gaiden trilogy. Why not? If it's good enough for Mario, why not Ryu? All right. Also, another quick headline about a mobile release for iOS and Android called Pac-Man Geo. It looks like it might be Pokemon Go meets Pac-Man, but guess what? It's not that. I looked into this a little more. It is not Pokemon Go with Pac-Man, because what it is... New York, Paris, Tokyo. Make a Pac-Man maze by choosing from a variety of real-world streets. So you just play Pac-Man on a variety of real-world streets. You know what this is?
Uh-huh.
It is
I know exactly.
It's that Google April Fool's joke.
It is.
It just like what's interesting, you know, the similarity there between Pokemon Go is that Pokemon Go was born of that April Fool's joke. That was the kind of the first... kind of pebble, if you will, that started the avalanche of Pokemon Go was when that Pokemon Google April Fool's prank happened. It ended up like, wow, this would actually be a really fun type of product in the real world. So now that's what they're doing with Pac-Man, except it really is kind of like download the maps and play on these maps. But I mean, the Google integration thing was fun, so I'm sure this game will be fine, but it is not Pokemon Go. Like, a lot of outlets are just saying it must be Pokemon Go meets Pac-Man. It's not that.
Yeah, so at least it's free.
Yeah.
So we can try it out and then immediately delete it off of our devices because it's probably not going to be great.
I still think it's interesting how many Google April Fool's jokes are becoming reality. You want to know what else is funny? Okay, so Ingress, Niantic. Niantic used to be a Google-owned thing, right? Until they split off on their own. Well, the April Fool's joke in Ingress one year when Google was over them was that it changed your avatar to Pac-Man, and all the XM became dots, and all the portals, or Pokestops, whatever, were ghosts, and you could change them to green and blue colors. That was the gag in Ingress one year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny how like all these Google jokes come alive in the real world. SSJ100 Matt says, I mean, to be fair, how many OLR in-jokes have been made into games?
Two.
Bungie Ferret Tossing and Pixel Shits, right? Or Pixel Poops on the Vita. So.
Yeah.
All right. So far, we don't know of any mystery projects that may be coming. All right. Moving on, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of things coming a little sooner than Bungie Ferret Tossing 2.
Yep. So this week we've got BPM Bullets Per Minute. That's that rhythm of FPS coming out on PC. Fight Crab on Nintendo Switch. Your crabs and you're fighting. Spelunky 2.
What else do you need to know?
I mean, it's literally what it is. You have like crabs with weapons. There's Spelunky 2 on PlayStation 4.
Oh.
Welcome to Elk on PC and Xbox One. Crysis Remastered on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Super Mario 3D All-Stars on Nintendo Switch, and WWE 2K Battlegrounds on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Stadia. That's it.
All right, let's travel to Japan. We're on the Nintendo Switch this week. You can check out Azure Lane Crosswave comes out on September 17th. Atomic Crops also comes out on September 17th. And then the Super Mario 3D All-Stars also gets a release in Japan the same day as the rest of the world, September 18th. And it looks like a One Mother game for the 17th, Pro Yaku Famitsu 2020, which Loki just mentioned for the U.S. as well. Checking the PlayStation 4, I imagine you're going to have some overlap. Atomic Crops is on the PlayStation 4 as well, and eFootball PES 2021 season update. So literally just a roster update coming for Konami and Pro Evo Soccer in Japan. And that is it for the PlayStation 4 this week. A little lighter over there than Switch. Mm-hmm. So there you go. All right, we have a few more headlines, and then we're going to get to the listener roundtable with some emails. We do have two emails tonight to get to.
Still got the European dates.
Oh, shit. You're right. I skipped those over because Dark Soccer is not here. But yes, usually you will pinch hit for those. So thank you. Please, Loki.
Yes. Let's so in Europe, UK we've friends. Got Pro Evolution Soccer 2021. That's coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. No Straight Roads on Nintendo Switch.
Gay Super Roads Mario only.
Super Mario 3D All-Stars on Nintendo Switch. Void Bastards on PlayStation 4 and the Switch. NASCAR Heat 5 on PlayStation 4. Looks like we've got Commandos 2 HD Remaster. That's going to be coming out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. WWE 2K Battlegrounds on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC as well. Beholder Collector's Edition on Switch. And that's it.
All right. Thank you for not neglecting our UK audience. Appreciate that.
Of course.
All right. But we do have some more headlines we're going to get into, including this one, a pretty interesting shift, a change coming, and something we've been talking about for a few weeks. Right, Logie?
Yeah. So Apple has made some changes to their game streaming rules, which apparently could lead the way for xCloud and Stadia to be allowed onto the App Store. However, there's some caveats with that. So streaming games are permitted as long as they adhere to all of their guidelines. And I guess each update must be submitted for review. Developers must provide appropriate metadata for search, and games must use in-app purchases to unlock features or functionality. Each streaming game must be submitted to the App Store as an individual app. So that's kind of irritating. So, for example, if you have, xCloud, Halo would have to be its own app. Forza would have to be its own app. Gears of War would have to be its own app,
right?
Which is absolutely stupid. But that's the way that they're forcing it to be done. Each game streaming service may offer a catalog app on the App Store to help users sign up for the service and find the games on the App Store, provided the apps adhere to all the guidelines. So basically, you can have a catalog app that basically links you to the other individual games that you have to download to your device.
I have some mixed thoughts on this. Like, obviously, we know that banning the streaming apps was not the direction we wanted to see Apple taking. So it does seem like we might have our first crack in the glass. And this is very different from the Apple and Fortnite situation. That's a whole nother thing. We're not getting into that again tonight. Although things are still happening in that space, but it's basically, more legal documents. Well, you did this, more legal documents, you did that. But anyway, back on this, I think, and I said, I don't think Apple is on the right side with this because they don't review every movie on Netflix. They don't review every song on Spotify. Why do they want to review every game that's going out on streaming, which is kind of what this policy is, right? They literally want to review every game. And I kind of think the companies maybe want to put, and I still don't think this is going to be the final answer, because, perception is everything. And I think the users are still like, no, this isn't really what we want. And if Netflix can have Bandersnatch, which is a game, and I'm sorry, basically, the Black Mirror Bandersnatch episode, which is a game, and Netflix can have the Minecraft story mode, which is a game, and that isn't a problem, then there's kind of like a double standard there, right? But
yes,
I
there's lots of things like that, yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't think anybody else, well, it's the internet. Probably somebody posted on a forum somewhere. But I want to talk about what I think the issue is here, what the real sticking point is here, and why Apple's doing this. And here it is. I know a lot of you in chat are like, oh, it's money, or Apple's selfish. No, come on, come on. Get past all that. What is the real answer? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the games on xCloud and the games on Stadia that are also mobile phone games. Those are the problem. And that, I think, is the issue that has to be worked out. What do I mean by that? My example is, let's say Microsoft next week is going to add Sayonara Wild Hearts to Game Pass. I don't know that that's the case. I'm making it up. So Microsoft adds Sayonara Wild Hearts, which, great, you can play that with a Game Pass subscription, right? And through or through with an xCloud subscription and all that, right? So you could download this separate app to your phone and play that. Wait a minute. There's a problem. Sayonara Wild Hearts is also a standalone Apple game. Standalone app that is available through Apple Arcade, which is another complication, but we'll say is also something that stands on its own. That is the problem. And I think
I don't think that's a problem that Apple should have, because it's the developer of the game should be able to decide, hey, I want my game to be played free with this thing. It really isn't up to Apple. I mean, that developer can change the price of their game to free at any point. It's not for Apple to decide
To say that, Loki, is then saying, well, then we should just allow the Epic Store on iOS, which I don't think we should.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to take Apple's defense here. And the reason why, aside from this, is just like all of the the fuckery that they do with their physical devices and making it difficult for independent repair shops to fix that stuff. They purposely go out of their way to like screw the consumer on a lot of things, but they're always saying it's in the best interest of the consumer. It's really just to make themselves money. And I have a feeling that the only reason they're changing these guidelines is not necessarily to open it up to, Microsoft and Google to put, these streaming services on this device. It's more of to protect them from an upcoming lawsuit regarding this stuff. Hmm. I think it's basically saying that, look, no, we're playing fair. We're allowing them to be on here, but they have to follow our rules. And unfortunately, it's just the solution they're providing is not adequate enough for these streaming services.
I get that angle, Loki, but I think there's a part of this where they are listening. They're understanding that they are viewed as in the wrong by the consumer base, and they have to listen to their consumers. And I think they are trying to resolve this somehow, to push this forward so that they don't look so crappy. Bobby is elaborating on what I was saying in chat, and this is Bobby, what you're saying is where I'm going with this. Apple gets a cut from the iPhone version. Apple would not get a cut of the Game Pass version, even though the consumer pays for both versions. So Apple has a vested interest in promoting the app native version over the cloud version. They do have language that says you cannot make sure that the customer has paid for an app twice, or rather you have to make sure there are no duplicate purchases. So if someone bought Sayonara Wild Hearts, they should not be allowed to play it on Game Pass. There's the problem. So this, and this is just my honest, like, trying to take a step back and not be like, oh, I'm Team Apple. Oh, I'm Team, to try to figure out what is the sticking point here. This is it. The games that exist both on Xbox and potentially Game Pass and as a standalone iOS Android game, those games that are, and who's to say this isn't going to be a problem for Android as well? Maybe they just haven't thought of this yet. The games that exist in both places, this has to be figured out. And I kind of think the ultimate resolution to this, if Apple does cave on this, there's going to be a clout that will exclude certain games from Game Pass, and it's going to be any game that has a standalone app on mobile stores cannot be a part of Game Pass or Stadia or any of these. And that is how this resolves, mark my words.
I don't think it's going to be a problem, though, on Android, because they already have xCloud on Android and it's working just fine. And obviously Stadia is working on Android because, you know, it's a Google product.
Fair.
So I don't think, obviously these are not going to be issues. It's just because Apple's being Apple. Like, I don't know what, they can do whatever they want. It's their ecosystem, but I don't like how their ecosystem is such a closed, it's walled off, you know, from everybody else, and they're not being flexible on anything. But they have, they're well within the right to do that. But I'm also well within my right to think that they're stupid for doing it and not buying their products, which is what I'm going to continue to do. So
yeah, you can still, still ultimately vote with your wallet. But I do think they're going to end up bending, and I think that's going to be the agreement. I think xCloud and Stadia will be allowed on iOS, but the written agreement will be you cannot put a game out that exists as a standalone app. And that's that. So and you clip it because we're going to play it again when that ends up happening.
Well, I was going to say, Bobby's saying that many consumers like the walled garden because they feel it's safer. And who do you think put that into their head that it's safer when it's walled off like that? It's Apple's marketing that said that. So, you know, that's what it is. It's the perception put in by Apple saying, well, this is why we do it, is because it's safer for you. You don't want those viruses, do you? We check everything. But really, there's no risk to the consumer, you know, for these streaming services to put a virus on their phone or something like that. It is a streaming service. It's just like Netflix. You're not worried about getting a virus on your TV or your phone from watching Netflix or Hulu or whatever. So why should this be any different?
I'm with Black and Pat. I like the walls. I mean, because I feel like with Apple kind of going through with the quality check and all that stuff and not having all the side loading and all that stuff, like everything runs at a certain rate that your performance isn't degraded. And Alan uses Android, and sometimes I see him run apps. I'm like, why is this frame rate so terrible? Oh, because there's other things running on the side and all this other stuff going on. I just kind of
It's because that Android, unfortunately, unlike Apple, doesn't necessarily have a finite amount of systems to develop for. And so you have, you know, mixed compatibility, because how do you test your device or your program to run on every single possible system that's out there?
All right.
That's why.
The Apple Android debate is not going to be settled here tonight. Let's move on to the next story. You know what? I'm glad there's options. It shouldn't just be one company controlling everything. So I'm glad we can have this debate about Apple versus Android. All right. Let's talk about a game that has, you know, and it shouldn't be one game that's always the number one game on Twitch either, right? It shouldn't be Fortnite forever. And it was, it used to be for a long time, it was PUBG, right? And it's still, PUBG still does very well, of course. World of Warcraft was a huge game. League of Legends, I mean, not to say those games aren't still huge, but you know what I mean. Games come and games go from the number one spot. And a new game is showing up at the top of Twitch a lot lately. And there are some articles about the sudden rise of the game Among Us, which I must admit, I haven't played, but my understanding is it is a social deception game. So social deception games are things like Werewolf, The Resistance, I Love Me Some Survivor, and that type of stuff. I like the game Big Brother. I don't like what it's turned into on TV. There's a lot of ugly shit on the show, but the game as a concept, I think, is kind of interesting. So I think these, you know, kind of like social deception games, now we have one that is showing up in, and I will admit, I don't know exactly how Among Us works.
I can tell you exactly how it works.
Okay.
I've actually seen some of it. So the way it works is basically your crew of 10 that's working on to 4 to 10, I guess I should say, that it's working on basically preparing a ship for launch. And so you're doing different tasks that you have in there to basically complete that. So there's little mini games and stuff that you do. However, there's some people among you that are actually saboteurs that are trying to to stop everything. And the whole point is that
it's the greatest reality TV show of all time, The Mole. You're telling me it's The Mole.
It's basically The Mole. So basically you do all that, and then after each round,
is Anderson Cooper there?
No, not necessarily. But like after each round, you call a meeting, or I guess basically they can call a meeting and vote on who they feel is suspicious, and they basically kick them through the airlock. So like if you're the saboteur, you're trying to break stuff, you're trying to kill other crew members. But there's folks that are like, you know, have like cameras that can watch stuff. It's trying to look like, you know, like you're not causing trouble, but also causing trouble at the same time.
Okay.
And
deceiving
people
mole.
That way. Yeah, it's
basically. Oh, my God. That's fucking amazing. I'm going to have to check this game out. I really am. So, I mean, you can see why just in talking about the game. And I can completely see why, especially with the whole, like, social deception. People love to see people fight. That's why a lot of these reality shows are based in social deception and why shows like Survivor have been on for 20 years. That's essentially a social deception game. I mean, it might not be a mole per se, but it's lying to someone's face. No, no, no. You and I got to stick together and vote this other person out. And then you vote for, you know, them. You know, that's the stuff that, you know, these reality shows are at their core, and they're very, it's very fascinating. And then, of course, like Werewolf, the classic convention game, is a social deception game. And yeah, so these games are huge. So this has done very, very well on Twitch. And apparently, they are saying that the creators behind Among Us is that Mafia, which is basically Werewolf, same thing, inspired this game. But apparently it was originally going to be a mobile-only local multiplayer experience with just one map. But it didn't do that great when it first came out. But based on feedback and some other things, they decided to stick with the game, build it up, and do these different updates. And now they have the game to where it is now, and it's doing very, very well online. Apparently, it's kind of started to get popularity in Korea, then really took off there. YouTuber ran with it, and now it's all over Twitch. And now I'm interested in it, I gotta say. I want to check this game out. Although I can be a terrible liar. I don't know why, but I'm pretty good at I mean, I joked about when I played that fake Survivor game online last year. I got really good at the ability to just lie, straight up lie to somebody and say, oh no, we're sticking together, I'm not going to vote you out. And then I wrote their name down, the next tribal council. But I can be a horrible liar sometimes. I'm not very good at things like the resistance. But I'd be curious to see how I do in a game like this. What do you think, Loki? Yeah. Why do you think this game's doing very popular?
I think it's just because of it's fun to watch people play it. It's also a relatively inexpensive game. It's only $5 on Steam, so go check it out. It's simple to get how to play the game, and it's kind of difficult to master because you have to be good at lying to people, and I don't know. It has a lot of opportunity to be pretty funny.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, The Mole with Anderson Cooper was the greatest reality game show ever. Don't at me. Bobby is correct. I need a little banner. I need a little graphic, a little do-do-do-do when Bobby says something like that. And I can just say, Bobby is correct. a little floating wolf head surrounded by stars that says, Bobby is correct. That in Comic Sans font. That is, yes, that factual statement. Well, obviously, The Mole is the greatest reality show. I would have loved to have gone on a show like that. It was
yeah,
just
so here, let me
like
read
James
the description
Bond with real people.
So let me just elaborate a little bit more about what this game is about. So like they're talking about what each, like the crew and the imposter. So the crew is basically supposed to win by completing tasks to prepare the ship to or ejecting all imposters, react quickly to undo the imposter's sabotages, check the admin map security cameras to keep tabs on other crew members, report any dead moddies immediately to start discussion who they suspected the imposter is. The imposter is supposed to kill the crewmates or frame bystanders, pretend to run tasks and blend in with crewmates. You can sneak through vents to move quickly through the ship and sabotage to cause chaos and divide the crew. Close doors to trap victims and kill in private. So, sounds fun.
All right.
It's crossplay between apparently it is on mobile, so Android and iOS, and it's crossplay between that and PC, so it looks pretty cool.
All right. I'm going to have to check this game out at some point. It sounds like I've been missing out, and I'm always late to the party on this shit. So I thought I was cool when I kind of discovered Fall Guys early like everybody else, but now it seems like Fall Guys has already fallen to number 2 or 3 on the rankings because now there's this new kid in town. So, yeah, be interesting. All right, let's move on. These updates are somewhat controversial, right, Loki, because they're coming from a hack that probably should not have happened. I just so you know where my head is at with OLR, we are talking about video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle, and I think whether we like it or not, this happened, and people are talking about it, and it's on gaming blogs, it's on news, it's on social media, so I'm bringing it to the dinner table, or Loki's bringing it to the dinner table tonight. And it is more things that have come out of that Nintendo hack.
Yeah, so there's more stuff coming out of this hack. They call it Giga Leak 3 or whatever. So, and they said basically it involves a huge lot check.
Who's they? Dump. 4chan, right? Or
probably 4chan, yeah.
Okay.
Whoever it was that hacked everything and got all this. But it's a dump of like Game Boy and Game Boy Color games that were either finished or close to being finished and sent off to Nintendo for internal certification. But a lot of these games never made it out. So, for example, one of the games that was part of the hack was Pokemon Picross, which was a canceled game from 1999. So that looked kind of neat. There is a Gimmick Land Tomato Adventure for the Game Boy Color. There's some Hello Kitty Pocket Camera game for the Game Boy Camera. That's interesting. There's Rock Board, which was a game that came out on the Famicom. It was a Mega Man board game, but there's also apparently a Game Boy version that leaked out. Yeah, lots of different games.
What's the theory? Because the Breakman says, so it's a bunch of bad games. Well, not. I mean, the Rockman board game might have been up some people's alley. And I think those P-Cross games tend to do well. And I think the idea of a Pokemon P-Cross sounds really cute. But the problem, quote unquote, with some of these games is that they were relatively late in the Game Boy cycle, right? So it was kind of like it was not felt the money was. We're theorizing that the reason why they didn't come out was that probably Nintendo did not feel it was worth the money to publish, make the cartridges, do the advertising campaign, because there was no digital release back then, right? They couldn't just release Pokemon Picross digitally. They could now, but they are probably not going to. Because a lot of the Picross games they release digitally now at this point. So it wasn't really felt in their best interest because they were probably moving on to the Advance and those sorts of things. So it's... But I don't necessarily think the games looked bad. I mean, the Hello Kitty camera thing is probably a cash in of sorts.
There's
but...
some interesting ones. So like, so if you're interested, check this out. There is a user on Twitch, Luigi Blood, that streamed a 3-hour long stream showing off some of these ROMs. So one of the games that I'm looking at here almost looks like Star Fox, but it's on the Game Boy, which is kind of crazy.
Oh,
so it's almost like vector graphics and stuff.
And I'm being corrected by Bobby in chat, who loves his P-Cross. It's how I got introduced to P-Cross. Pokemon P-Cross was on the 3DS. It was a free-to-play game on the 3DS. Well, so they may have taken some of the same concepts and then reintroduced it later on. So maybe at one point it was this standalone Game Boy Color game, and Nintendo took... I would be curious if some of the designs and things ended up carrying over and being the same. Probably was. So Nintendo probably just carried some of it over to the 3DS. So that's very interesting.
Yeah, there's lots of interesting looking games here, but yeah, like I said, you know, if you're interested in checking out, I mean, it's all over Twitter and all over, looks like it's at least on Twitch a little bit, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, some of these look kind of cool.
It's that weird gray area where it's like, it's a part of gaming history, but it also isn't. It wasn't really meant to ever be discovered, so... It's a really weird space. I kind of think ultimately these games are going to be talked about and buzzed about for a week, and then the internet is going to move on to something else because that's what usually happens. It will be interesting to see the approach the historians kind of take, but I don't think that they really can like archive these actual games because they were never really released, but it would be an interesting chapter in a book somewhere.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know how the historian's perspective on this. I'd really like to invite one on the show and ask, what is your angle with these leaks? Because technically it's all illegal, but it is a part of gaming history. How do you file this away?
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's complicated. That's the answer. All right.
Well, I know at least like especially like the emulation scene and stuff. There's not a lot that they could do with. Some of the code and stuff that I remember because like in previous leaks, they have like the official emulators that were on, the DS or, you know, the Wii. So they can't really use that for their code because they would get in trouble with that.
Right. Because then you cross lines from it's legal because you don't have any, you know, commercial ROMs or whatever with it to it's illegal because you stole it. So, yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
Emulator teams have to very much keep themselves siloed from this stuff. And that's come up before when we talked about, you know, I think the PlayStation, was it the PlayStation Mini hack I think was a part of that or something.
No, not necessarily with that, but yeah, there's like, I think it was with the DS and the 3DS. Mm. They had like some hacks with the software for those.
Right. All right. Well, moving on to something in a little less of a gray area. This is something I think old school fans of this program and old school music game fans and new school music game fans will be very excited about. And I'm ending the show tonight on a music game. Well, getting to the end of the show tonight on a music game related story. And it is the game series Poppin' Music. And Konami has announced yet again another Bomani series for PC. And it is Poppin' Music. And it's going to be called Poppin' Music Lively. If you're unfamiliar with Poppin' Music, it is a 9-button game. There's 5 in the front, 4 in the back, and you kind of hit the buttons in line with the music. And these are giant buttons. If you ever see an arcade machine in an anime convention or something, it looks, I always say it's Trouble with the Pop-O-Matic bubble. You know that game with the dice in the middle and you hit that? It's like that, but 9 of those that are like the buttons that control the game. It's a lot of fun to play, but it can hurt your hands. And it will probably be a lot easier on a mechanical keyboard where you're not going to hurt your hands so much. There is a beta with 5 limited time songs in this limited time beta. There are 5 songs. They are all Japanese songs from various Poppin' Music games, including Poppin' Music 17, 18, 20, Lapistoria, and Poppin' Music Peace. So there's one song selection from those different games. You do have to have a Konami account to participate in the beta, and it is on Konami's website. I haven't played it myself. I'm just imagining it's all in Japanese at this time, as most of these releases have been. But my.konami.net is the place to start, and the beta client is on a Japanese website, so you probably will have to have some type of understanding of Japanese to probably get through the game, although I'm sure there's going to be guides online somewhere. Dark Tetsuya says, admittedly, I really only played Poppin' once on console back when we all got together to play that stuff, but if this ever gets an official release, I'd be down. Yeah, I hope it makes its way here, stateside. I've played it in the arcade. Conventions are a great way to keep playing the game. And round one, you usually will still see at least one Poppin' Music machine at round one somewhere. It might not be in the front with the other stuff, but it'll be around there. And it's a fun game to play. And you got to learn to play 9-button mode. Just go straight into 9 buttons. It's so much more fun that way. Right, Logie?
I was never very good at Poppin' Music to play with 9 buttons. So.
All right.
I think I've tried.
Let's move on. This is the part where you guys get to have more of your voices on the show. We've been reading some of your chat comments all night. But if you have something you'd like to add, please ask away in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. That's twitch.tv/VOG Network, as we are taping along live with our show. But I have some emails to get to during this segment as well. Every week, you guys can email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we read some of the emails on the show. So we do have 2 emails tonight. Let me get to our first email, which is from Robert M., that says, I'm also surprised you hadn't covered Street Fighter II, The World Warriors, for the Game of the Week. And that was the classic game 2 weeks ago before on our last episode, if you recall. Listening when the episode aired on the 30th reminded me how the title theme is always connected in my mind with the taste of Shock Tarts. It's been ages since I've tried to hunt down the candy. That is a very interesting association. Are there any video games you associate with food, Loki? I'm trying to think if I have associated anything with food.
I mean, food that I eat or just food in general? I mean, really the only...
Food that you eat, like Street Fighter II reminds Robert M. of Shock Tarts.
Oh, no, not really. I mean...
I can say vaguely Halloween candy reminds me of Super Mario 3 because the night one of my good friends at the time and I stayed up all night long... Literally all night long playing Super Mario Brothers 3 was on Halloween, and we were going through Halloween candy like crazy and eating it and playing Mario Brothers 3. So that would be an association I have. Dark Tetsuya says, I have one, Mechanized Attack on NES and Pepperoni Pizza Combos. No One Special says, I pretty much associate any retro arcade game with pizza and Pepsi. The Breakman says, Turkey reminds me of Final Fantasy 3. I love that. She-Hulk 10 says Donkey Kong and bananas. Why not? In Donkey Kong Country, you're collecting a ton of them. Why not? All right. Let me finish the email here. Robert M. continues saying, also, if you're shouting out New Horizons dream addresses, mine is DA5727-2780-1688. And if you need that again, just hit that 15 seconds backward on your player. I believe if the Sakura of Koholint is Jamie, I visited last month. It is. And so, yes, you did visit. From what I can remember, really nice. And that's from Robert M. And I will have to check out your town at some point, Robert M.
So the dream codes that they have, because I know, like, if you visit other towns, like, you get more stuff in your Nook shop. Because we're trying to get more stuff in our Nook shop because it's the same old items that keep cycling through. And I think if you visit other islands, you get more stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that. Works
with the, do you know if that works with the dream stuff? Too? I would probably not. I don't know.
Haven't a clue.
All right.
We'll you got to ask Jamie. She's the Animal Crossing guru.
Yep.
All right. A quick note from our chat room before we get to our next email for the roundtable here. SSJ100 Matt says, MAGFest met their 100K donation goal during the show. Earlier this week, they decided to cancel next year's show without force majeure, meaning they were on the hook for costs. But thankfully, they met their goal. Well, congratulations to MAGFest. Yeah, we hadn't gotten to that during this show tonight yet. But they did cancel MAGFest for January of next year. Obviously, the COVID situation is not going to go away that easy. So, you know, even though we may be at a point where we can hang out in small groups, at that point, a big convention is probably still not going to be doable in January. But the big deal is they went ahead and canceled, and they didn't wait for the legal force majeure thing. So they kind of had to raise money to save MAGFest, basically. So they did a telethon, and it was still going tonight during the show. And it sounds like they made their money. So congratulations. That's great. Bobby Blackwolf is reminding AGDQ is also going virtual. Little bit of a different situation. They hadn't actually announced a hotel or booked a hotel yet. So they're not having to worry about the fact that they canceled on anybody, but they are going ahead and making the call that it's going to be virtual. So that's two things now in 2021 that are now going to be virtual. And I would expect it's probably still going to be a few months into 2021 before we really start seeing big events again. It's probably going to be at least March, right? We get through this thing a year, but we'll see. And Bobby says they'll still use a hotel as the main command center, though, in Virginia. Which they did for Summer Games Done Quick. So, interesting. Also, virtual PAX is going on right now. I'm kind of confused as to what is going on when. They have, like, three different rooms, and at the bottom of the page does not list the schedule for what's going on. But I tuned in to, like, some random stuff, and I saw somebody I knew on one of the panels, so that was kind of fun. I was like, oh, her, I know her. So it was kind of interesting, but it looks like they're doing the virtual panel stuff for PAX right now. But have we gotten any, like, game developer companies doing announcements like they sometimes would at PAX?
There was – well, I know was it that there was stuff about Borderlands 3 that Gearbox was talking about.
Oh,
so
the multiplayer stuff, right? On the same screen on PlayStation 5, right?
Right. So PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, they're going to have four-player split screen, and then they're going to also do 4K 60 FPS, I think, on for single player if you do that. So that's kind of cool. And apparently also there's going to be a vertical split screen option that's coming as well to current generation games. And apparently they're going to be allowing you to transition. You're going to have all your add-on content and save files will be supported in the transition as well.
Neat.
To the next gen. So,
all right. So, well, let's
that's
do
about all I've heard so far.
Let's do one more email tonight from YYR, who says, "Hello, LR. On the last episode of the show, there was a bit of confusion as far as the way Nintendo handles their digital game licenses. Not that anyone can be blamed. After all, for many years, Nintendo's way of handling a digital purchase was to simply assign the license to the device on which you purchased the game. However, and fortunately, this policy ended with the Wii U and the 3DS. Beginning with Nintendo Switch, licenses are assigned not to your device, but to your Nintendo account." Pardon me. "As long as you have access to your account, you'll be able to re-download your games onto any Nintendo Switch. You can assign any single Switch console as the primary console on your account, and any user of that primary console can access your downloaded content. But you can also access your games from any Switch console that you're logged into, regardless of whether it's a primary console. This is actually very similar to the way licenses work on Xbox." Thank you for clarifying. Yes, it is complicated because Nintendo's done it several different ways. So thank you. "I'm looking forward to your opinions and analysis on Microsoft's announcements this week. I find the Xbox Series S console to be particularly interesting because I'm trying to figure out its target audience. Possibly consumers who want to play the newest games, who don't care about physical copies anymore, who want to save some money, and who also don't care much about 4K resolution or 60 frames a second performance. The real question is, how many folks fit into those categories? Thanks again for the show, and have a great week. YYR.
To kind of go back to that again, I think it's mainly it's folks trying to game on a budget right now, because it's why, you know, there's a market for PCs out there, especially like laptops and stuff that are mid-tier, I guess, if you will. Like, not everybody buys a $2,000 gaming PC to game on. They have graphics cards out there that aren't like the top of the line for stuff. I mean, they just released a whole new series of like the NVIDIA 3000 cards or whatever, and they have like, it's getting more powerful even on those lower tier cards, but not everybody has to purchase like the top of the line stuff to game. And that's why even 1440p is still really good.
Yeah.
It's going to look great. Even upscaled to 4K is still going to look really good. It's granted, it's not like the best it could be, but maybe you don't care that it's the best it can be. And that's what you're wanting to get in on, or you know, maybe you're buying it for your kids and you don't want to drop, you know, that kind of money on. So like, I think it's still a very, they're going with the value proposition there because that bundle of Games Pass is a really good deal. You're getting, you know, really good graphics, you know, all the next gen games at launch, you know, from first party next gen games, and you have a library of like 100 plus games to play. I mean, like, that's a really good, easy sell for $299.
I think, in my opinion, and the probably the shortest way I can put it, is that the Xbox Series X is a living room console. The Xbox Series S is a bedroom console. And it's not going to be that, you know, X, Y, Z, X, and S for everybody. It's not going to be that binary for everybody. Nothing is. But I think generally that's kind of what it breaks down to. If it's kind of like the household secondary console or whatever, or a bedroom console or a kid's console, it's the S is going to be just fine. It's still, there's still a lot it's going to be capable of doing. But if it's meant to be a beefy powerhouse 4K Bobby Blackwolf's basement theater type of thing, like, Bobby Blackwolf is not going to waste his time with the Series S. He's going to get the Series X for that setup.
And that's fine too. Like, I was like looking at replacing one of my monitors, or I may have to be both of them, to replace it with a 4K monitor that could do 120 frames per second. Not going to be able to do that relatively easy. So, you know, that might be something that would weigh in whether I get an S or an X. Also, I don't know when these are going to be available, or if they're going to be available, or how fast they're going to sell out. So let's see.
All right, let me get to one more roundtable question from chat, and then I want to get to any last-minute stories you might have tonight. Thank you for the emails, by the way. More emails, if you want to send them, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Last comment here from No One Special 77, who says, I personally think that 1UP arcade machines are okay, cheap alternatives to actual arcade machines. They're not quite as good because you can't drop quarters and tokens into them, and most retro games used CRT monitors, not modern displays like in 1UP arcade machines. So given the choice, I'd get the honest-to-goodness retro machine. That said, would you get the retro machine, or is 1UP arcade machines good enough, quote-unquote? I think you kind of said it. It just depends on what you're looking for. If you are looking for that authentic, reminds me of the pizza place I had growing up, I'm okay with dropping tokens or having that whole system in my house, then the old school machine is a fine way to go. And I think you make a good point with the CRTs. You're going to have a hard time. Well, you can probably find secondary CRTs. They're just, they're not as plentiful as they once were.
No, they are not.
Oh, really?
As a person that is speaking with an arcade cabinet that has a broken CRT right now, it is not easy to find, and they're not easy to repair, and they're not easy to replace, and they weigh a ton. Like, it would probably, I seriously am considering replacing it with an LCD screen, because even though, like, I get it, like, the old low-res screens look pretty nice and stuff, but, like, I think I can live with it not looking as perfect as it used to be. I mean, there's so much more you can do with it, and just, like, especially if you're going to mod it or something, it makes it so much easier.
I like
I don't know. And a lot of those arcade
one-ups
now, especially if,
The arcade one-up machine I have, the Burger Time one, I like it. The display, I like that it's a little brighter and crisper. And is it authentic? No, but it's authentic enough, you know, for the price I paid for it.
Yeah, it would be nice if it was they were still making CRTs. It would be nice to be able to replace it. But, like, at this point, you have to find somebody that has one. And that's probably going to be at least, like, $500+, maybe $1,000 to replace it. And it's still going to be used. And it's still going to – you may have burn-in and all that stuff. Like, mine has burn-in on it. You don't really notice it when you're playing it. But, like I don't know how to fix it. It's broken. And it – you know, you're talking about high voltage and stuff in there. Like, I'm kind of scared to try to fix it. So, like, you know, I just rather not mess with it. Rather just would have, it would have been nice just to have an LCD in there and then, you know, you replace it for like a quarter of the price. Yeah.
All right. Well, good question. Anyhow, before we get to wrapping up the show tonight, do we have any last minute stories, Loki?
Yeah, we have a few things to talk about. So a lot of this happened a little bit earlier. So EA did some fuckery earlier in the week. So they had added ads in, or full screen ads in UFC 4 for the boys. So there was an ad campaign there. They also reskinned some of the stuff in the actual arena, advertising it. But people got really pissed off about it, and they eventually took it out. This isn't the first time they've done that, though. In fact, they also patched it into EA Sports UFC 3. They've also tested this in the past as well, just to kind of see response, but apparently people didn't like it. I think what happened was is they pulled it out after they got done with their ad campaign because the boys is already launched on Amazon, so it doesn't make sense to have ads in it anymore for that, but whatever. But it's EA being EA. Speaking of, also, more things that are just impossible to do. So you may remember we talked about Control and 505 Games and how that they're not going to allow you to have a free path to upgrade your existing copies of Control because they say it's impossible. We just cannot do that because the way of the game, way the game works. So they're basically saying that in order to get the Xbox Series X or PlayStation 5 versions, you have to purchase the Ultimate Edition. So here's the funny part, though, that you know what's coming. So apparently earlier this week, folks that owned copies of the original game and also the DLCs or the season pass noticed that they also had a free upgrade deluxe edition that was available to download for free. Uh-oh. That was already attached to their account. So they had noticed that, well, hey, wait a second. I already have this as it is. So what the heck? And so apparently 505 Games had accidentally flipped that switch, but then they realized what they did, and so they revoked it and retracted all those.
Oh, dear.
So apparently, no, it is not impossible to allow you to upgrade for free. They're just not wanting to do that. They want to charge you again for the game. So just be honest and just come out and say it, but... of course, they haven't made any sort of comment about it, but yeah, it's interesting.
Interesting. What a mess.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's pretty much it.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for tuning into our show tonight, whether you were listening live or on the podcast feed. New episodes always available at vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com, and also most places where podcasts are available, such as iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Orange Lounge Radio, available all those places. If you liked what you heard here at the show, help us spread the word, leave a nice 5-star review or tell a friend about Orange Lounge Radio, because the more voices that we have here in chat, the more gamer voices and opinions and all that good stuff we can get out there in the world. You can continue the conversation in our Discord server if you like, vognetwork.com/Discord. We'll get you into our Discord server where many folks share stories, and sometimes we discuss some of the things throughout the week. I'm sure there'll be a lot of reaction to the Sony conference this week, so I'm looking forward to talking about that on the next episode of OLR. Might have to get some friends together at VOG this week to talk about it after it happens, and then we'll talk about it on OLR as well, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of thoughts with the Sony conference. So we'll get into that at some point. And yeah, we'll be back in 7 days to do it again. And also a shout out for Twitch and everybody that subbed, gave bits, all that good stuff tonight. Thank you so much for all that. I'll read you guys out after the show here in a minute. But I also want to say those of you guys that host us, and I'm really bummed Twitch doesn't show us a list of who is hosting us, so I can't thank you individually, but just know that I really appreciate it. I know some people do, and those auto hosts on Twitch go a long way in helping to show that we're live to more people. So I really, really appreciate that stuff. So, that is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Let's get final thoughts for tonight. Loki, do you have any final thoughts tonight?
I was going to say, like, they have replacement LCD panels that you can get, but they're super expensive if you want them, like the old CRTs, the 4x3 ones. So aside from the arcade cabinet stuff, still going to be working on games. So maybe I'll play some more stuff this week.
Not even a hint?
No.
All right. So are there any games that are on your radar to try to get to this week?
I'll probably play, I haven't played Super Mario Sunshine. So when I get the 3D collection, I'll have to try that out. I don't know. Like, I've got a lot of things I need to play. I may play more Hot Shot Racing. I don't know. I need to stream some more.
All right.
Probably Hot Shot Racing. Yeah.
And then my final thought for tonight is I'm excited to get all my crafting jobs in Final Fantasy to 60, which is probably going to happen. If not tonight, then I'll probably happen tomorrow. I'm looking forward to playing more of Avicii and some of the other games out there in my backlog. I have a lot. I still want to go back and play more No Man's Sky. I want to play that freaking... I see VG Realness Delvin playing this all the time on his channel. Spellbreak? Is that what it's called? The Fortnite with magicians?
I watched... Okay, so earlier in the week, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with the Auronauts. They do a bunch of like funny like Star Wars videos and stuff like that. So they have this character that they do, Creepio, that's like C-3PO. But it's pretty funny. So they had their character Creepio playing that game, and it looked interesting. Definitely a game I'd like maybe to check out, but their stream is pretty funny. I didn't know they actually streamed stuff, so it's pretty cool.
All right. Well, we're going to roll credits and be done here for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thanks again, as always, for listening to the show tonight. Really appreciate it. We will be back here to do it all again next week in 7 days. Have a good night, everybody. See you next time.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.